I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is June 1st, my God, 2020. Or 2021. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We're worldwide. You're welcome to come in to get your opinions on the show. Everybody's welcome. And if you want to come in, you're going to need the number, which is 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. That's the number. That'll get you in a studio. That'll get you your voice worldwide. If you're an artist, business person, author, there's a chance for you to promote your stuff, too, if you join in the conversation. It's going to be a good one. Here's the title. Here's the copy. The title, We Are Here and We Are Queer. It's Gay Pride Month. Let's start the parade. That's the title. Okay, and the copy I wrote. Okay, I get it. You are gay. So what? I mean, I get it. You've been persecuted for being different. I'm down with that. I'm with you. It's your civil rights. I'm down. I'm on your side for that one. But isn't gay all about your sexuality, who you choose to be intimate with? I mean, what makes you different from me, other than you like to suck dick or get fucked up the ass? Other than that, I see no difference. Why pride? Today I want to explore that. I want to get behind the topic. And I hope I don't make an ass of myself. Gay jokes. So we're going to explore what it's like to be gay. It's Gay Pride Month. Why not? And I do want to learn. I want to understand. It's not. This is not a homophobic kind of platform. This is not anything against gays or lesbians. I just want to understand. I just want to understand what this pride is all about. I just want to understand how you feel in 2021. Are you still being persecuted? I mean, did we move from gay to the next topic is, or flavor of the month is transgender? What's it all about, Alfie? I like to know. Well, we're going to explore this. We're going to explore this and see. Maybe I can learn something about being gay. And if you are gay, I really do want you to come in the studio. Bring your sexy self in here, 319-527-6099. Bring it in. Bring it. Today is, I guess, it starts the month of pride for the gays. You know what I have to say? I want to listen to what you have to say. So come on in the studio. I'm going to get some coffee, and let's have a discussion on what it's like to be gay.
Body.
All right, welcome to the show. We're going to explore being gay. Some people say you're born with it. Some people say you learn. It's a learned behavior. Some people say that it's brought out of sexual abuse by a family member. If you listen to the Bible, it's a ticket to hell. And gay is all around us, and I just want to understand what it is. Again, the show is not about a homophobic thing. It's not about anti-gay, so relax. You know, put down your little signs. What it's about is understanding what it is. And we're going to go right to it. You know, being gay in America, I don't know, but there was an article written. His name was Raja Farah. He's a pacifist Arab, which is unique, because we all know how the Middle East treats gay people. But here's the article. And then we're going to go to a guy named Corey, who's talking about the worst thing about being gay. We can all go to that, person running for president, I forgot her name, and her husband had this church to convert gay people into straight people. Seems like it's a big misunderstanding. But again, the article is very interesting because it's written by a person who is from the Middle East. And he read an article, Being Gay in America. Want to hear it? Here it goes. On an October evening in a small town. Well, it sounds like a Kenny Rogers song. On a cold, warm evening, would a train go to nowhere? Anyway. On an October evening in a small town, Matthew was in a bar when he met two men, Aaron and Russell. So these two guys pretended to be gay. They said they were gay. Matthew, who was gay himself, asked them to ride for a ride back home. Now remember who they are. Matthew was in a bar, he's a gay guy, when the two men he met, Aaron and Russell, those are the guys who pretended to be gay. They said they were gay. Now Matthew is gay, and he asked them for a ride back home. They accepted. But instead, they drove him to a remote rural area and proceeded to rob him, beat him with a handgun, and tortured him. They tied him to a fence while he pleaded for his life, and then drove off, leaving him to die 8 hours later. Matthew was discovered, still alive, but in a coma. His face was completely covered in blood, except for where it had been partially washed clean by his tears. Matthew was rushed to the hospital. He had suffered fractures on the back of his head and in front of his right ear. He experienced severe brainstem damage, and there were numerous lacerations around his head, face, and neck. Doctors deemed his injuries too severe to operate. 6 days later, Matthew died. He was only 21 years old and gay in Russia. In America. I visited America for 2 weeks in 2010 as a gay man. I wanted to understand the harsh realities of being gay in one of the most powerful countries in the world. At the time, there were reports of teenagers committing suicide regularly because they were gay or believed to be gay by their peers. I wanted to know what the schools were doing to protect these kids. The answers was simple. Nothing. In many places in America, schools are actually legally forbidden from providing gay kids with the support they need to be empowered enough to accept their sexuality and deal with the bullying. Arizona, for example, actually has a law that prohibits portraying homosexuality as a positive lifestyle, and it's illegal to even suggest to children that there are safe methods of homosexual sex. In Texas and Alabama, children are taught that homosexuality is not a lifestyle or acceptance to the general public. Utah, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and South Carolina all have laws that limit speech about homosexuality. Such laws are not surprising, given that up until recently, as 2003, many states in America had laws that made homosexuality completely illegal. That is, and we're talking 2003, that is, people could be arrested for engaging in consensual adult same sex. A law commonly known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell made it illegal for people serving in the American military, the most powerful military in the world, to actually discuss their homosexuality in any way. If at any point their sexuality would be revealed, they would be discharged because of their presence would create an unacceptable risk to the high standards of morale, good order, and discipline, and unit cohesion, that of the essence of military capability. Yeah, you try cold reading for a while. America's homophobia is heavily linked to its very close relationship to fundamental Christian beliefs. Go Christians! Although the U.S. Constitution clearly separates church and state, religious leaders and thoughts heavily influence every aspect of its law and of society's moral decision-making. Some Americans, televangelists, have collaborated with partners in Uganda to create the infamous Kill the Gay Bill. There you go, Christians. God kills. He hates you. Some Americans, the televangelists, religious people, they have collaborated with partners in Uganda to create the infamous Kill the Gay Bill. The homophobia is also part of TV culture. A few months ago, Phil Robertson, a star on a hugely popular TV show, compared being gay to bestiality. Well, there is doggy style. The TV station suspended him for this show for 1 week. The backlash to the suspension was immense. That's immense. Online campaigns demanded that the TV station apologize, claiming Robertson had done nothing wrong. A slew of supporters came out and defended Robertson. A week later, he was back on the show, one of the most popular shows in the network history, with over 11 million viewers. He continues to use his show as a soapbox for his religious beliefs and political conservatism. Okay. President Obama, while busy sending drones to kill innocent people throughout the world, has made several campaign promises intended to create equal rights for the LGBT individuals. But all these have turned out to be little more than means of winning an election. Ironically, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, made a speech at the UN in 2011 about LGBT, accusing the world of not offering equal rights to the LGBT citizens. You know, I'm thinking about that. Wait a minute. As I'm reading this copy, my mind drifts to QAnon. And why did it drift to QAnon? Well, QAnon has this thing that Trump is going to rise up somehow and destroy the leftists and the Democrats. And the Democrats are nothing but baby-feeding pedophiles. I never put that together. I mean, how could Q go to one area to say pedophiles out of nowhere. And as I'm reading the article, then it hits me. Because if you look at the left and maybe the Democrats, they're more accepting of individuals who are different. Thus, they accept the gays. And if Hillary Clinton went and she said there should be made a speech at the UN in 2011 about LGBT, accusing the world of not offering equal rights to the LGBT citizens. Well, the religious right think that, and some people think it's bestiality. I'm putting this together. So Q must be a conservative organization, a religious organization, who think pedophiles and demons and sex trafficking people, I'm thinking they're thinking Democrats are just pedophilia and everything and gays and all that kind of stuff, that this goes against the church, and that's why I'm thinking they're talking to them. I'm not quite sure, but there's a link there. I would have to explore that. There's a link. Interesting. I wonder how many gay people are QAnon supporters. Let's continue. Americans seem quick to criticize the actions of other countries, most notably Russia, yet are completely oblivious to the injustices faced by the LGBT individuals in their own country. America is often presented as a place for freedoms. Though in reality, freedoms do not apply to sexual minorities. Sexual minorities. Really? Is that really a word? Sexual minorities? Get the fuck out of here. Going back to the article. I guess I'm a sexual minority. Does that make me gay? Yeah, the gay people are going to recruit me. Well, you're different. You're a sexual minority. Shut up. Looking at America from the outside, it is clear that it's not a place where a gay man or a woman can feel safe. With brutal murders, rampant suicide, hateful leaders, and homophobic TV shows, it's clear that America, the self-proclaimed defender of equal rights, need to stop looking at the faults of others and focus on their own gigantic flaws. That's the article. Then it says, good luck in sushi, everybody. Sochi, I guess. Oh, Sochi, I'm sorry. That's the Olympics. There you go. Being gay in America. You know, I don't understand. I really don't understand the gay thing. And this is a short show because I don't understand. I mean, on the outside looking in, so what? You like I said in the copy, you like to fuck somebody up the ass. Straight people fuck people up the ass. You like to kiss men and suck dick. Straight people like their dick sucked, but not with another man. There's some common bond there. But that makes you different than me. So am I promoting your sexuality? I mean, is this what you're saying? You want to run down the street and you want to say, I have the right to fuck my boyfriend up the ass. Is this what it's about? Is this what it's about? Is this a parade that it's like, oh, we're going to expose our sexuality? We don't care about your sexuality. And if I hear one more excuse, well, it's like being black. No, it's not like being black. Shut the fuck up. It is not. And if you want to say it was like being black because you're persecuted for your color and we're just persecuted for your sex, it's not the same thing. Black people are not having sex in front of you, running around grabbing their girlfriend's pussies. They're not getting head in the corner. They're not running around the street dressed like they're having a sexual orgy. Why is it so important that you have to display your sexuality? Why is it so important that we have to accept your sexuality? And if we don't accept your sexuality, all of a sudden we're homophobic. We're criminalized. Well, maybe we just don't accept you. And maybe you need to accept that we don't accept you. And go on your happy, merry, gay way. every religion, every person, you can go from Irish to Italian to black to Mexican to Chinese, have issues about civil rights and stereotypes. Show me, just, you know, you want to be equal to me, and next time you say, well, it's just like being black, shut the fuck up. Let me see the last time that a cop stopped a gay person and put his knee on his neck. Or pulled him over because he was gay. Driving while you're gay. When was the last time that happened? You're parading around and showing me your sexuality. I don't care. You want me to accept your sexuality? No, I don't know. I really don't care enough to accept you or not. And why should I accept you? Who cares if I accept you or not? Why are you so needy? Now, if it's regarding civil rights, I'm with you. I'll march with you because it's about a civil rights issue. But if it's about you promoting that you want to fuck some asshole, literally, I'm not down with that. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I don't care. So why are you pushing that on me? Why can't I walk down the street with my child and then I see a little Peter Puffer and some alley giving some guy head and tickling his balls at the same time, and he's smiling like it's a bright sunny day? Or the costumes. What's with the costumes? What's with this? Can't you just march like regular people and say, hey, I'm queer, I'm here? Why dress up like Cheetah Banana? Why dress up like this? Why pray to your toilet god, Cher? Because I'm thinking being gay is about your sexuality, and I'm not interested in your sexuality. I don't care. And you should not care about mine either. But if you're parading and you're doing all this shit so I can accept that you can fuck some man up the ass, I'm not down with that. No, no, I'm not down with that. There's a song with that. No, no, no. But I do want to understand. I want to understand, why do you need to be accepted so much? Like I said, if it's about civil rights, I'm with you. Nobody should be persecuted, harmed, or hurt on who they are and what they believe in. I'm the first one to defend you. But if you want me to accept your sexuality, you don't need me to accept that. Just do what you need to do. But you're going to have to understand. See, I think here's the problem, what's wrong with you gays and you transgenders. You want people to accept you. And you can't deal with it. Just because in your head you're thinking, I'm just being me. And there's others being me. Therefore, you have to accept me. If you don't accept me, you're criminalized. That's not true. I don't accept assholes or bitches or whatever. So why don't you just accept that some people do not accept it and go off your merry little ballet way and skip down and skip to the Malou, my darling. I'm not homophobic. The only thing is, I really don't care. Don't care if you want to suck a man's dick or fuck him up the ass. It's not in my business. I don't want it in my face. But if you come in like a man and you just talk like a man and act like a man, walk like a man, my son, then we're cool. But don't throw it in my face about accepting your sexuality. And don't screw up our women, guys, because you're a coward and you're so afraid to be out and you try to get a beard and then you marry our women and then you leave our women because you're gay and you follow the kids and you're such a coward and I'm going to hide myself. Shut up. Shut up. It's like a poem. Just be a man. You know what I mean? Just be a man. And you know what I mean? And quit being such a whizzly-ass pussy. You know, oh, how you tried to cut me down to size by telling dirty lies to my friends. But my own father said to give him up. Don't bother. The world isn't coming to an end. And I'm telling you guys, walk like a man. Talk like a man. Walk like a man, my son. No man's worth is crawling on this earth, so walk like a man, my son. That's what you got to do. Be a man and not a pussy. I don't care what furry butt that you have in your mouth tonight and how it tastes. Not interested. Just remember, walk like a man as fast as you can. Walk like a man. From you, I tell the world. Ooh-wee-wee. Cole, welcome to the show, Cole.
Walk like a man, talk like a man, walk like a friend, pick it up again.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, how you tried to cut me down to size by telling dirty. Yeah. Yeah.
Walk like
and
a man.
He said,
don't
walk
be a
like
man.
A man.
Don't walk like a little bitch like you're on the rag. Walk like a man. Walk like a pig. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
You know, I, oh yeah, you know, I don't get it. Now, like I said, I'm down. If anyone civil rights, if anybody's civil rights are kind of messed, you know, if you're persecuting somebody, you're trying to hurt somebody because of their civil rights, fine, I'm with you. But I don't get the gay thing because I'm thinking it's promoting their own sexuality. That's when I get off the boat. And the gays will argue, well, that's what it is. We can't be ourselves and everything. That's why they prosecute us. So it is about our rights, and we have the right to do it. Yeah, well, yeah, you do. But nobody has a right to not hire you. Nobody has a right to not let you move in any neighborhood. I'm down with the civil rights. Nobody has a right where you can't eat. I'm with you. But if you're going to move in next to me and you paint your house in rainbows and you're running around with glitter parties every Friday – and you're in a costume of a bunny rabbit that likes to hump on the bunny rabbits, get the fuck out. You know, we joke around, Miles. I mean, how do you feel about the situation with the gays? Seriously, because I'm trying to understand it.
The gays. It sounds like
the
an
gays.
Episode of All in the Family.
I know. The gays. Meet the family.
I'm not,
the gays.
I got no interest in getting on that boat, I'll be honest with you. Just forget
right.
about getting off it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you put it succinctly, man. You know, like, I just don't understand this whole acceptance thing, how everybody thinks, like, look, the only life is like Frogger, right?
Right.
The only fucking,
right.
the only goal in life is just stay, it's a video game. It's like when you drive,
mm-hmm.
if you think about your car when you're driving,
mm-hmm.
I like to think of that as every time you get in that car, it's a drive for survival. Doesn't matter how close you're going to your house, how slow you're driving, how carefully you're driving, something could fucking kill you, or you're on the freeway, six lanes freeway, and someone fucks up, and, you know, it's... Life has become a video game. It always has been a video game, but more so now.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything that's going on, so many moving parts and social media and everything, it's like, man, why can't
right.
just, even before social media, why can't people just like fucking, if you want to, if you're a hillbilly and you want to live in the South and watch WWF and piss on black people and gay people and everybody who's
right.
not white and has a Confederate flag, that's fine, okay? That's fine. Do that. But why do people have to have acceptance and love and think that in a country that was built
right.
upon rape and torture and murder,
right. mm-hmm.
like the Catholic Church is not even saying anything about the 250 indigenous children that were found in like buried in, right in the fucking back, right fucking within hundreds of yards of the church.
Mm-hmm.
When it's those the people in the church are the ones that buried these fucking kids and said, oh, we can't have this here, you know, in
right.
Canada. That guy's a piece of mm-hmm. shit, Justin Trudeau. Anyway, getting to, I don't know if you saw it. I didn't read the whole thing, but
right.
the influencers chiming, like, well, what's your take on that? You should read that article, or I'll get Bob to read it.
I will.
When I sent it to you,
I started to read
it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, why don't you read it? It's just about how influencers and people in general, like, why are people that do stupid videos? And it's one thing, you know, to be a quote-unquote influencer in your field and you make money
mm-hmm.
and you have your niche and you do your thing. But to look to these people, some of these idiots, where just because you have fucking 100 million followers, and you make
mm-hmm.
$10 million a year telling people what to do and what kind of hair shit to buy and all the shit that's going on
mm-hmm.
TikTok. Did you see the girl that burned herself copying some
no.
shit? I mean, just because
no.
it's, yeah, she got third-degree burns because she copied some, you know, challenge. Like, just
what?
Because it's there, does that mean I'm going to
yeah.
go do it? Yeah, punch it up. I didn't even want to read. I didn't want to see any pictures or read about it.
But
I was just like, how stupid.
Burned herself on a challenge, a TikTok challenge? Is it a TikTok challenge?
Yeah, I'll find the link. I'll send it to
yeah,
you. Yeah,
find
she burned
it for
her third-degree burns copy of
Damn.
Something. You know, some TikTok bullshit. I mean,
well,
the bottom line is, like you said, getting back to the subject, and then I'll you can take
mm-hmm,
it over, is
mm-hmm.
Don't – I'm there. You know, look, some gay people, like, that's the one thing about, like, meets that – what rubs me the wrong way is, like, I have fun when he's funny and he's not talking about gay shit. But as soon as
right.
it goes into that, you know, that whole, you know, trans, LGBTQ, they're going to add a couple more initials soon to that, I'm sure. You know, cis, non-cis, like, goddamn it, pick a team. You know what I mean? Pick a goddamn squad. See, how do you wake up and you're like, oh, ass, balls, pussy? Oh, you know what? I'm gonna do all three. I'm gonna do ass, balls, pussy, tits. I'm just gonna go and fuck everything I can fuck out there today, and I'll just morph into whatever kind of chameleon I have to morph in to get my nut off.
Right.
You know, it's like, and then you got the guys who are like, I can understand how, you know, some guys are like, I could totally understand if you're a guy. And you live in a rural place or whatever, or non-rural. It makes more sense rural. And you married your childhood sweetheart, and you have a couple kids by the time you're 20, 22, and then you realize, wow, you know, I like cock. It's kind of hard to wiggle your way out of all that, you know, and the kids and everything like that. I'm sure it could be a mess. But at the end of the day, you either have a pussy or you have balls. Caitlyn Jenner has apparently both. But, you know, come on, guys, pick a fucking squad. Shirts or skins. Let's go. Let's make it up. You know what I'm saying? Shirts or skins or skins. I'm gonna go shirts on the front. I'm gonna run shirts, and then I'm gonna go to skins. Skins. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You pick
you know
a way.
I, mean?
I hear what you're saying.
And, you know,
and I got that article.
Trying to change somebody.
But you know,
don't
try
and change
is,
me. I'll change
yeah.
on my own. And that stupid
right.
shit, the worst one is like when a guy says to this guy, you can Google him up. He's a piece of fucking dog shit. His name's Dwayne Buckle. If you Google up Dwayne Buckle, just how it's pronounced, IFC Center, I don't know, this is probably about 8-10 years ago, I did a film with this guy. He fucked me over so bad. I was fucked over. Everybody didn't pay the hairdresser. Like, this guy should be fucking beat the shit out of, right? Anyway, he was walking. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was by the IFC Center on West 3rd Street, and there was like a group of lesbians. There were like maybe 6 or 7 of them. So the first couple walked in front of the theater, and he's like, hey, baby, you know, and she's like, no, you know, I'm with someone. You know, the chick that she's walking with. And he's like, you know, he's like, oh, fuck you, you dyke or whatever. I can change you. I can convert you and this and that. And then what he didn't realize is like 5 more fucking lesbians right on top of him. So they beat him up, and the one girl stabbed him with a steak knife or some kind of knife or something. And, yeah, I mean, read the story, but it's like, you know, like, that fucking shit drives me crazy as a straight man when I hear someone saying, you know, like, look, if I'm looking for conversion therapy, and I'm curious about that shit, then I'm going to find the smallest 4'5" dude and work my way up to whatever I'm comfortable with. If I decide I want to put some cock in my ass, or, you know, I might not start with Shaquille O'Neal. I might start with like Napoleon Bonaparte, but let me go out and find that, you know, that let me feel that curiosity on my own, because like that's the best line. I hate him to death, Vince Vaughn, but Sam Rockwell in the movie Made, he's playing the bellboy at the
right.
hotel at the Soho Grand, and Vince Vaughn says, I'll send you that clip, and he goes. He goes, so Vince Vaughn goes, so, hey, Captain, where's the hot ass tonight? And he goes, men or women? He's like, women, stick with me here, Captain, all right? If I was a fag, I could get laid on the subway. I mean, that fucking line is hysterical. It's true. Like, as a straight man, you might go out, you might have some money in your pocket. You could go to, like, that's where you see someone like, you know, a good-looking guy who's well-known, someone like Cuba Gooding Jr., you would say, well, how the fuck you scratch your head? How the fuck? You can go to a club, and if you're not paying for actual sex, even though you might buy the whole club fucking Dom Perignon, you still might go home and have to jerk off into the hotel sink. That's a fact. But when you're gay and you're a decent looking guy and you go out there, you're going to get fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Will.
So that whole shit about I can convert you. Men and women, women and men. And then the last thing just to touch upon, God kind of was on the rant there, is the whole, look, man, if you're born with a dick, you can't compete against biological women. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have no fucking problem with a chick who was born with a pussy. If she can play middle linebacker, or if she can fucking throw 100 miles an hour, or if she can kick a fucking 70-yard field goal, I don't give a fuck. She's a weaker. It's a proven fact that women. Women. I don't know if there's any women listening, and maybe there is, maybe there isn't. There's a different gene set up on men and women. That's not to say a lot of women can't rip my dick off, bench press me 600 times, and then throw me off the Eiffel Tower after scaling it. That's not what I'm saying. But for a guy that's gonna pull that, you know, fucking I'm a trans and now I'm a woman.
Right.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Once you get your dick cut off, and you get the and you've been a woman for a year, you can keep training. But you have to be a woman with a fucking fake pussy, and your dick's gone, and the maximum amount of estrogen or whatever, you got titties, the whole, like, that's it. You've your completed package, and you hold that down for a year. Then I don't give a fuck. Then you want to then go fucking, but that fucking male wrestler, you know. And then Kate fucking Caitlyn Jennings. Let's just fuck that Caitlyn bullshit. Hey, Bruce, okay, you came to the defense of women. Oh, we got to keep women healthy. That's not really the response. I mean, that's the obvious response that comes to anybody's head is it's not fair and it's not safe. That's a male with a dick who's a trans who wants to compete against other women and not men because he's
right.
Listen, man, you can still be a trans. You can still be a tranny and fuck dudes up. I have a lot more respect for some dude who like fucking threw 400 yards, 6 touchdowns, and comes out of the fucking into the locker room and says, "Hey guys, I had a great time tonight, but I'm gonna go hang with the village people and get my ass pounded." All right, Bobby, we'll see you Tuesday. Have a great day off. You know what I mean? Then like, you know. I don't know. You know what we got to come up with, Brian, like they did? Remember that draft thing that Chappelle came up with? We got to come up with the skit with you and me where we're doing the trans draft. We should write a skit, some kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, here's Bobby Wilson. And then you'll correct me and you'll be like, we'll be the commentators. You'll be like, no, Miles, that's Roberta. Oh, really? Did you get it snipped? I don't know, you know, just some crazy shit, but pick a team. Stop throwing your fucking plate. Stop putting your potatoes on my plate or your sausage. That'd be funny shit, you know, coming in it at the number one draft. The Charlotte Hornets select Roberta Wilson. Oh, fuck, you can like cut to like the people in Charlotte watching the draft
from
the bar. Fucking took a flag. What do you mean? 7'4". He could dunk 360. He could do a 583 dunk. So what? I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? What if he has a fucking wardrobe malfunction?
Right.
It's a halftime show.
We'll call the draft for the WNBA or the WBA for the Women's Basketball Association. These are the men who are...
Yeah, that would be great. That would be fucking funny, man. You know, there's got to be a way to do that remote, so it doesn't even have to be a set. We should keep that. I'm going to keep that under wraps. Let's just start writing that back and forth, because what if we have the dialogue down? All we have to do is just find somewhere and then just go shoot it. You know what I mean? You could do interviews too, Brian. You know, you could go to people's houses. Like, you'll have everybody in the house. You'll have, like, the uncle in the kitchen being like, oh, you fucking motherfucking fag. I just want to see that draft money. When do you say, Uncle Bob? You're out. You're out of the wheel. Get out of my house. Drafted number one, Bobby Roberta Williams out of, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I was just kidding. You're my nephew. You're my niece. You're my nephew. I mean, my niece. Where are you? I'm your niece.
But you know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you
that seems like my nephew
that,
right
Miles,
there. That's my nephew.
You know, you hit something on that, because in reality, in the future, it's scary shit, because I wonder, Kenny, if we go with this transgender thing and it's law legit, blah, 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 the laws are there, and they actually start recruiting transgender to the Women's Basketball Association, that could happen.
Oh, yeah.
That could happen. I mean, the
guy
would
be funny.
MMA.
That's funny shit right there. What if you did, like the dude, like, we get somebody who's a fucking ringer, right? We go out, we find a fucking ringer somewhere in fucking Harlem or somewhere, right? Wherever, L.A., Venice Beach or something. And we just coach him as an actor. With all the way, all the, and then after he's like, fucking get signed, and she's like, I ain't no fucking fag. I'm a fucking Raymond. And then you see Bruce Jenner and all these motherfuckers, like, oh my God, he's been duped.
Or the funny bit is, like, you go to these retired athletes and they want to restart their career. So you interview them and congratulate them that they're now drafted in the WBA. And you're talking to Mike Tyson and you're talking to Michael Jordan. You're talking to these guys in wigs and everything. That could be a funny bit. But here we go. What we're talking about, what is like being a queer here? Being gay all the way in America. This is Corey, by the way. Oh, I can't get Corey. Corey fell. This is Corey. And Corey is going to tell you after this break. You know, Cole, did you hear the story that I read? It's kind of sad about this Matthew guy, and they beat the shit out of him. It's kind of sad what they did to him.
For what?
I don't know if you read, if you were listening to the show before you got in, but apparently this guy, he's gay. His name is Matthew. He's gay. And these two dudes come in pretending that they're gay. Bottom line, Matthew asked them for a ride home, and they took this guy to a remote area. They tortured this guy. They beat this guy. They robbed this guy. The guys were not gay at all. They eventually killed this guy.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah, the guy died. So,
Makes me kind of feel bad about jumping on the gaze for a second there.
Yes. I just want to get it straight. We're not homophobic. I'm not homophobic. And, again, any civil rights issue, if I'm there and I see anybody hurting anyone because of their race, color, sexuality, I'm on their side. I mean, I'm the first one to back them up. You know what I mean? Because that shit happens. And I understand the persecution of it. But this is a sad, sad story about what happened to this guy. You know,
I can finally hear you, man. You've been like, sound like you're in a swimming pool when you're on that fucking speaker.
Yeah,
phone,
I was
man.
On the speaker,
yeah.
But
you got your headphones
but,
on.
But yeah, I'm on the phone. I should get my headset on for now on. But what
Why
they did
use
to
the
this
headset?
Guy?
Yeah,
I should.
So what happened?
They actually took this guy and beat the shit out of him until he was. They said that his face was so bloody that the only reason they could even see a face is because of his tears. How his tears were running down from his face. They kind of wiped his face a little bit, and the guy finally died. We're not gay bashing. I'm not a homophobic person. I'm not going to use the line. My best friend is gay. Everybody knows somebody's gay. I'm talking about, is it just a sexuality? Is gay thing just a sexuality, or is it more than that? Because I don't see anything more. I'm with you with the civil rights thing. I'm behind you. But I don't understand what the pride is about. Is pride who we are, meaning who we are, like we like to fuck, we suck dick and we like to fuck people up the ass? Is that what you're talking about? Because there's no difference between a gay man and me if we're standing there, and the only difference is his sexual preference, right? Other than that, I want to know. And if that's what you're promoting, that, look, I'm gay and I like men and we kiss in public and we dress in costume and we act the fool, is that being gay? Then why should I promote that? Because I'm trying to understand. You get where I'm going with this, right? So, you know, anybody who hurts anybody because of who they are and because of this, I'll kick their ass together. But I just don't know what gay is. There's a song that's just, I wonder, did they take that song from what happened to Matthew? Because there's a song that says, "Take Me to Church." And if you listen to the lyrics, it's the same thing that would happen to Matthew. It's a sad song.
When did this happen? Post it. Send me that link.
Damn, I'll send you the link. Where is it? Because I closed the frickin' thing. I'll send it to you right now. While we listen to the worst part about being gay, this is a guy named Corey. I'll send you the link. Because it's a sad, sad story.
I sent you a couple clips. I sent you Richard Pryor doing some Chinese.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to play him later. I saw that. With the Chinese food.
I'll be honest with you, man. Like, comedy, that's the one thing I know. I don't know, man. Maybe it is racist. I kind of look at comedy as, like, comedy, I think, should kind of be like, you should make fun of yourself. You should, you know, like, if you make, it seems like everything's off limits now.
I know.
I can understand how some people would be offended about certain things, but, like, that's my, I love doing Chinese accents and fucking shit like that, and I'm the first one that to make fun of myself or see myself on screen and go, wow, what a douchebag. I, you know, look at that douchebag and make fun of myself, my own race and wherever I come from or whatever I've been through. I got, well, let me roll this joint up here. Got some Apple Rock.
Right.
Not to be confused with Crack Rock.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you this. Right now, I'm going to play Matthew on our break. We're coming back. I'm sending this article to you, Cole. I mean, seriously, damn, I have to read it. Let me know. We're going to go to – this is where Cole leaves. Because
Corey's
gonna...
talking about the main reason why this guy Corey that you have the audio clip is talking about that one bad thing or a bad thing about being gay.
Right. I mean, he's not here. I mean, it's on YouTube, but he's talking about the worst part about being gay, and I want to understand what he's talking about and what he's feeling, so maybe he'll shed some light on, is it just sexuality?
I have Meech's number. Why don't you give Meech a call?
Oh, hell no. Meech is an asshole. he's just a big douchebag. He's a big
you
douche.
You can't get through to that guy.
No, no. Instead of big meat, it should be big douche. Wait, here, let me send this to you. Yeah. And his gay nation, let his gay nation be cool. All right, take a look at that, and we'll be right back, and then we're going to listen to Corey, why he hates being gay in America. And I'm going to get that song, because what happened to that poor bastard, Matthew, reminds me of this song, and I'm wondering, did this song come after him? I got a feeling it did, because I remember something about somebody when they were, it's called Take Me to Church, and I got to remember the artist said something about it's dedicated to Matthew. So here's the song, Take Me to Church, and we'll be right back finding out why it's worse being gay in America, according to Corey.
Hey, that clip you sent me, is that about Matthew being murdered, or is that something
else? Yeah.
It says
being gay in America. Yeah, let me check it. Yeah, it tells a story about Matthew. Yeah, it tells a story in that clip. I mean, in that post. It's a sad-ass post. All right, when we come
back,
we're going to take a little break. I'm going to get some coffee, and we'll hear from Corey. Corey's not here. I mean, it'll be through YouTube. What it's like, the worst part of being gay in America. And by the way, this is a song, Take Me to Church, and I got a feeling this song is about Matthew's life because I remember the video. Listen to the words. We'll be right back.
My lover's got humor. She's a giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. Should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. Fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolute. Tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church, I worship like a dog.
Just to give you my life. Take me to church.
I think that's it. All right. If you haven't seen the video, man, the music video, Take Me to Church, go to YouTube right now and play that video. I think it has something to do with Matthew. And I think they did homage to him. It's a sad video. It's a powerful video, too. All right, here we go. The subject today is we are here and we are queer. June is Gay Pride Month. Let's start the parade. Everybody loves a parade. I wanted to know the reason what it's like being gay. And don't tell me, oh, it's just the same as being black. No, it's not. They're gay black men, too. It has nothing to do with being black, and it has something to do with acceptance. Don't tell me about acceptance. You live in America. We have free will. We can accept or we don't accept. That's one of our options. That's one of the pleasures of living in America. Just because you're gay, transgender, black, Irish, Jewish, Palestinian, the USA gives us the right to not accept you. That's our prerogative. And it gives you the right to ignore our stupid asses and our ignorant asses and say, cool, you don't accept me, I walk away. But we don't have to have this confrontation all the time. We don't have to call each other's name just because we don't accept, because all through life we don't accept things. Not because you're gay, maybe because you're an asshole. Maybe because you're a bitch. And if it's equated with that, that's just how it is. That's America. That's the ugly part of America, and we don't want to look at ugly America. We want to look at it. We want to fall into that propaganda that we're the beacon on the hill and we are a democracy and everything. Just take a look at Trump trying to come back and make money and scam money on you guys because he has a rally coming up next week. In America, you live in America. We have the right to hate. That's America. But recently, well, not recently, about 10 years ago, since we got, well, since the 80s, we got the internet. And we got some morons on there, who some pussies on there, who decided to go after bullying. And I still see you morons out there trying to say, stop the bullying, stop the bullying. Oh, my God, stop it. Well, the reality is you cannot stop bullying because that's what we do. We live in ugly America. We make fun of people because it's funny. But the internet, with the social justice going on here, you cannot do that anymore. You cannot make jokes. You cannot make sly remarks. You cannot criticize. You cannot do anything. If you think about it, that's anti-rights. That's against America. You're censoring our free speech, no matter how stupid it is. And what gives you that right? Just because you're gay, or you're transgender, or you're Jewish, or you're black, or you're an Irish, or you're Catholic, and telling us what to do and not to do. But since social media has become social media justice and telling us that we are wrong and we are bad people, and a lot of people listen to the show. They go, why do you listen to the show? Because the show is idiotic. No, the show is because you don't hear straight talk anymore because everybody wants to be politically correct. And I hate that word, politically correct. No, we're just being human. And that's what social media has done to us. It took away the human part of who we are. We can't say anything about women. We can't use them as such a thing. We can't say anything about gays. We can't say anything about black. It doesn't work. And this is why you're not going to get rid of bullying. Bullying is part of life. Back from the cave people, when they bullied a guy who couldn't carry the spear, and they just threw him to the pterodactyls. And we need bullying. We need bullying. Bullying teaches you to be a man, and bullying teaches you to be a woman. And without being a bully, a lot of these nerds would not even be where they are. Now they rule the world. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos. These are nerds. They got their revenge. They rule the world. Hell, I'm a stupid jock. I can't even FaceTime without some nerd going, really? And now they're bullying me. You can't write code. They're little bully nerds. That's America. And that's what we have, our right for freedom. Freedom comes at a cost. Freedom's not free. And it comes at expense of others. Listen to a rap song. Listen to any song. It's a take on something. Freedom does come at a cost of others. It's ugly America, and we don't want to look at it. So don't you tell me when I'm on social media that I can't say shit. I wrote in my copy, what's the difference between a gay person and me? Except the gay person likes to suck dick or get fucked up the ass. Yes, I wrote that. And some people will get offended, like, oh, my God, like, you don't think gay people get their dick sucked or they get fucked up the ass? Are you crazy? That's good. That's the fun part, being gay. The other part is kind of terrible. Yeah, I'm a Neanderthal. I am a fading creature because my generation is dying, and you killed it. And you want us to transform into you. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets appreciation. Everybody needs love, and bullying is bad, and looking at a woman for sex is bad, and holding her hand when she doesn't want it is called sexual assault. This is the world you developed. And if we don't conform to your world, you will blast us in your social media, Justice, and we will lose our careers, our jobs, our family, our homes, our kids. Because it doesn't matter if we go to a trial and find ourselves innocent, because that's what we pay for, because social media justice will determine if we are a heathen or a bad person. Because most of the people on social media are losers and morons, and when they do this shit, it's revenge, and it's a threat, and it's blackmail. It's time for a straight man to quit taking it up the ass and start fighting. But we hear from the corporations, don't fight this because it's bad for our brand, and we need the fags, and we need the Jews, and we need the niggas, and we need the Latinos to come buy our shit. So curb your freedom and who you are. This is what we became. Now, you can't stop bullying, so stop it. It's a waste of post. We mock people. We make fun of people. That's who we are. It makes us laugh. And I'm not going to stop laughing because I offended you. That's America. That's ugly America. So stop with the bullying, stop the bullying thing, because we're going to make fun of you anyway. Stop with the sexual harassment and sexual this. That's why we got law enforcement. Stop with the allegations of he did this, but yet I'm not going to come forward and explain why he did it and who am I. I'm just incited by it. Not it. Stop that shit. And we should fight against that shit. Look, if you've been sexually harassed, raped, or whatever, I'm with you. I'll take you to the police department. Let's file out a report. Let's get the motherfucker behind bars. But if you're just going to call me up and go, well, I'm not going to visit the show because he touched me. Well, let me ask him. Well, no, don't ask him because I don't want to start no shit. But you said he touched you. I'm just going to write it in a blog, and I'm going to put it on Twitter that he is. But I don't want any part of this. See, now you're my enemy. Because you're attacking somebody who can't even defend themselves. And who are you, judge and jury? These fake allegations, man, are destroying people's lives. We got to fight against that crap. Here's Corey. He's going to talk about the worst part of being gay. Where are you, Corey? Corey, come out of that closet. Corey was here a minute ago. I got to find Corey. I had it all set up, too. Freaking Corey. All right. Oh, here he is. Here's Corey The worst part about being gay, it's on YouTube. I want to understand. I would think the worst part of being gay is when you run out of that loop. With an anal ease? When you're a little low? I think that's the worst part of being gay. Or maybe you get arthritis and you can't really jack off another person. Get your hands are cramped like a little crab. Or I don't know. Let's see what Corey has to say.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. How's it going? Hola.
Why do gay people talk like they're singing all the time? Hi. Hey. Good morning. Why do they talk like they're singing? I hate people who sing when they talk. Hey, how are you? How's your day? Why do they have to do that? You know that? Why are you singing? Hey,
happy, man.
Hey, girl.
Hey. I call it the Willie Nelson effect. You know, when you swing up to the pitch. Because when he sings, he swings up to the pitch. And some people
right.
do that when they speak.
Don't you hate that, though? You don't have to be gay to do that.
Oh, I mean, vocal,
do the same thing.
Vocal
but
fry
Vicky.
Is worse to me.
Oh, man. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
Angela. And sometimes
Angela.
They do the Willie Nelson and the vocal
yeah.
fry at the same time. Really, really irritating.
Hey,
hello,
Angela.
Everybody.
Cole's here. Angela, and hey, Cole, Angela did something that you're very interested in. I didn't do it on purpose. I did it on purpose. Yeah, you did. You're a freedom fighter. I purposely did not talk about the 100 years of the Tulsa, the Black Wall Street. It's been on my mind all weekend. I had a lovely talk with Angela who explained to me a lot of things about, she's in Oklahoma, and the history of what's going on there. She did write to me. Let me see here. And here's what she said. It's very interesting what's going on with her. Apparently, she was going, was it a rally that you went to?
Well, it was a four-day commemorative event, which is still
mm-hmm.
going on today, but I can't get mm-hmm. anywhere nearby them. I actually got shooed off by the Secret Service last night, so
mm-hmm.
I had to leave Tulsa.
Jesus.
Because I was parked in the wrong parking lot. That's why they told me to leave Tulsa. So
right.
I left.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But he's there today.
Okay. Tell us really quickly. I'm gonna give you all the time you need because it's been on my mind for the weekend. Tell me about what's going on with the history of Black Wall Street and what happened in Tulsa that day, if you can describe it.
Oh, well, that's a mouthful. I'll try to give you
yeah.
a short synopsis.
Sure.
Tulsa was one of the wealthiest cities back in the early 20s, like late teens, because they supplied 2/3 of the oil needed for World War I to the Allies. That's a lot of money. So it became the city of dreams. But sometimes people still get greedy. Dick Rowland was a shoe shiner. I don't know how to make this short. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't know how to make this short. But an incident happened. The World War I veterans of Greenwood, or what is known as Black Wall Street, came to the courthouse to make sure this young man did not get lynched. And they say a shot went off, and the massacre started to happen then. No, this was planned. This was planned. 40 acres, I forget how many, 50 city blocks, decimated to the ground. It was the most violent, what they then called a riot, but it was actually a massacre in our nation's history, where they're still trying to get reparations to this very day. There are 3 survivors. I talked to Mr. Van Ellis just yesterday. He's one of the survivors. He's the kid brother of Mother Fletcher. She's 107. This impact has lasted for a century now. So does that give you a brief synopsis of that event and where it originally started? Did he walk away?
Brief.
Well, he said to be brief. He said to be brief. So there was basically it's a 5-day event, concluding with today with President Biden coming to town. And there's been a lot of drama, and they canceled one of the events because they were not going to pay the survivors. Why should they always be the token survivor and they make money off of them? That's not right. That's not right. You know.
What do you mean? What do you mean by what's not right about that?
Well, the survivors, there's only 3 now that I know of that are out there. Maybe there's more survivors. They don't want to be in the public. They get invited to all these events that people pay to get into, I might add. And they never see any type of reparations, even from people holding these big events. They use the likeness of Mr. Van Ellis, who served our country also, even after being treated the way he was. They've used his likeness and made money off of it. That's not right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's what Demario Solomon, he's an attorney for the survivors, is fighting for, that they get some type of restitution. You know, you can't just celebrate that they survived and not do anything for them. It's not right episode.
As you were talking, something important, Cole had to take a hit. Cole taking a hit during your conversation. Well, very important. Yeah, he did. It's very important.
Okay.
And I purposely, Angela, stayed away from the topic, but here's a gentleman here. His name, I don't know his name. Growing up in Tulsa, his name is Bobby Eaton Jr.
Oh, and, I know him.
Oh, do you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's awesome. And, he's cool.
Yeah. And he was talking about it. And here he is. Here's his voice. I'm going to see if I can get his voice on here. It's loading an ad right now. And he was talking about growing up there.
Mm-hmm.
His grandfather was Joseph, who was a respected member of the community in Greenwood.
That's right.
And his uncles were
barbers.
I got video of him. Here we go. Here he is right here. Here he is.
What happened down there of people being killed and shot and murdered and that time and what happened down there on all that history and all of that time and what happened down there of people being killed and shot and murdered and burnt to the ground. You know, that was during a time when blacks were forced to live in. They spent their money amongst themselves. That black dollar would go around 30 times in that community. They had hotels, banks, they had airplanes, and it was Black Wall Street of America, of the world.
It's writing, and I will read it until he gets back on. But it's so I will read what's going on here with the music.
And that was his daddy, by the way.
Yeah, it was saying 100 years later, continue the legacy of Tulsa Black Wall Street. It's just words now on the screen. In the early 20th century, the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma, was home to a thriving black community. Due to the wealth circulating in Greenwood, the district was called Black Wall Street. On May 31, 1921, a mob of white citizens burned more than 1,400 homes and businesses, leaving behind 150 to 300 residents dead.
It was a Tulsa race riot. It wasn't a riot. It was a massacre. The first time I heard about it, probably when I was grown, because it wasn't taught in the schools. It wasn't talked about in the community, and most of us didn't know anything about it. My grandfather, Joe Eaton, had a shoe shine stand down there on Greenwood, and I guess when the massacre took place, he was probably in his early 20s or something like that. He came over here on Norfolk Avenue and built a home right here. And then he built the building where the barbershop was. And it's a duplex. There's one side of it that he put together for family where the radio station is right now. Bobby Eaton Sr. is my dad, who's been here in the community for several years doing activism. He worked along the sides of my grandfather.
As is a black history,
and so I was able to catch some of the very end of Black Wall Street. I remember that all these African-American iconic men in the community would come into that barbershop to get their hair done. They come in there and they'd be talking about economic development, and they'd be talking about jobs. They'd be talking about everything that you can even imagine in a barbershop.
Urban renewal pushed everybody out. Bobby's grandfather barbershop stayed on open until early 2000.
The barbershop is inoperative, so nobody goes in there. It's very sentimental to my dad, so I don't even really go in there. But I'm in the radio station, which is next door, the property which Grandpa had for family. My mother passed away in 2018. She was the love of my life. She supported me in everything that I've ever done. And my dad is still alive. He's here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's 85 years old. And you can catch him down on Greenwood on any given day.
He worked with musicians like Natalie Cole before coming back to Tulsa.
At first, I didn't want to come move back to Tulsa because I know Tulsa was very highly racist. Being African American, moving back to Tulsa, you have to create something for yourself. And when I came back here, wasn't a lot of music to be played. So I had to really actually reinvent myself. So I said, well, we got bad communication here in Tulsa, so I'm going to open up a radio station. And that's just what I did.
I run K-Bob 89 out of Tulsa. It has 12 radio shows.
You can tune in to our radio station via FM radio, internet radio, live stream on Facebook, and other social entities. We're running commercials. We play a lot of old school music and music from the 70s, 80s, a little bit of 90s. We talk about economic development, jobs. We talk about incarceration. We talk about single-parent moms. I talk about my grandfather, my dad, and my family on our radio broadcast all the time. I educate young people who may not know of this history. The elders passed away. The community changed. A lot of people didn't keep their property. Now if you come to Tulsa and you go down on Black Wall Street, you'll see a little bitty small section of the remaining little buildings that were left down there. They ran a freeway through it, and just all of this gentrification, big old schools, and it's really kind of sad. The house has been around for a long time. They're thinking about even selling it, you know, and I would hate for that to happen. I'm just going to stay here as long as I can stay here, you know, and try to keep the family legacy up and going. The Black Wall Street entrepreneurship that my grandfather had has influenced a lot of my family members. No matter where I may go in my life, I'll always have that spirit within my heart.
Bobby had three children. His son Trey also worked at the radio station. Bobby hopes that younger generation will keep Black Wall Street alive.
We are still traumatized here in North Tulsa, Black Tulsa, from that massacre. When things like that happen in your community, You have to start doing healthy things like I'm doing the radio station. We got to talk about racism. We got to talk about the disparities of what has happened. If we don't discuss it, we can't grow. African Americans, we're more consumers. We got things going out, money going out rather than coming in. And when that happens, there's no economic development in the community. I just hope that people in the community take some of their finances and start the rebuild, purchase land. We can get into our communities and rebuild our community.
Now, I have his number, and I will make a live call to see if I can reach him. He sounds like a great guy. I said the same thing always. I said, black people are consumers. We've always been consumers, always will, until we change that mindset to be business people. Hmm?
Sorry, I was answering somebody.
Oh, okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break. We're going to make a live call. We make live calls here. That's what makes us different than any blog talk show. I am number one. Fuck the rest. I'm going to make a live call. And I'm going to see if I can reach Bobby. Again, people should know about that.
He has a radio station.
Mm-hmm. It's a little one.
Yeah, it is a little one, but it's for the community.
Right. Right.
It might be smart to look at what programming is on right now.
Well, he already told. I don't know if it's even on right now, but he has. I'm at the radio station website right now, and it just has one page. It doesn't say when. Wait a minute. It says, "Do you have any questions or comments about our program?" It's KBOB 89.9 FM.
Yes.
You can send him requests and all this kind of.
He has a BTR show as well. I think it's on Wednesday.
Does he really? Really?
Yeah, for years and years.
Seriously? Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, he's a homie.
I mean, he's cool. And I got videos of him talking at city council, standing up for the community. He's
right.
An awesome person.
I love the way he thinks. And I said, I've been saying this for years, that African-American people are consumers. And we got to change that mindset to be business people and leaders and investors. That's how you gain power in the political world, in the Capitol, in Washington, D.C., and all that kind of shit. It's the lobbyists are their main people.
Mm-hmm.
They change the laws. You don't know what a lobbyist is, look it up. They are the people who change the laws. We don't have many black African-American people representing us in the Capitol as far as business as lobbyists. That's where the power is. That's how you change things. Angela, I'm going to do that. You inspired me. You know, the thing about this show is that we go to one direction and all of a sudden something happens and we change another direction. We're still coming back to the main story. We are here.
Oh.
And we are queer.
Now, on Thursday, he helps young people, and he would help them do their own show through BTR. And he has a really nice setup at this barber place. He has a great setup. So on Thursday nights, if there's young people, or Thursday afternoons, and I'm sorry, I don't know, I'll find a BTR show. But it's pretty cool because other people can do this for young people as well.
Sure. I'm going to see if we're going to make a call. I don't know if he's going to pick up, but maybe we'll get lucky that he will pick up. Because right now it's about, what, 10,
I kind of doubt it.
12? Yeah, what the heck?
Because probably, President Biden is in town. I guarantee you he's there.
Could be.
He landed maybe an hour ago. President Biden was going to tour Greenwood, Black Wall Street. And because he's media, he's going to be there where the president is, as long as his COVID test is negative.
Right. We'll still take a shot. Maybe we'll get lucky. Somebody's running that station.
You might get someone else. Maybe Ramal.
Why not?
Lincoln took a shot.
Paul, be on your best behavior.
He got shot at.
I am.
Okay, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. I don't want to get embarrassed by anybody. Brian, best behavior.
Oh, this is my bad. This isn't a crank call?
This is my bad. No, it's not a crank
no,
call.
No, not a crank call. No.
It's not a crank call. But,
I'm glad you told. Glad I found that out. I would have pulled the ripcord.
I know. No, this is going to be a real call. It's going to be a real call.
We should
all
do
right,
a fake one after that.
Well, we're going to actually, this is something very important, and I love what he thinks, and I love to hear his BTR show, because I agree exactly what he's saying, and I didn't know anything about Black Wall Street. They don't say it in the history books. All right, so let me play a song here so I can get on my headset, and we'll make that live call. I think this guy's a great guy.
Sounds great.
Is there anything else you wanted to say? Yeah, he's good people. Is there anything else you want to say?
Now, what are you going to ask him?
You know, that's the beauty of my calls. I have no idea. That's why it's so beautiful.
Well, I would say that I heard that clip, and I don't know what you'd want to ask him. Because I know.
It comes to me. I just go with the flow. I start with the hello. I go from there to see if they're friendly, if they're open, if they want to talk. If they want to talk, my concern is about I saw Bobby's thing on Huffington Post.
Something he does also. Stumbling. You know, he helps young people. He took them to Atlanta to the museum where they show about slavery. I forget the name of the museum. I mean, he's always doing stuff like that. I mean, just...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's the example that we should all want to aspire to be.
Okay. Did the show want to be... keep your bar low, kid. Keep the bar low. I'm on it. Keep the bar low.
Do better, Brian.
You never know where this show... I don't inspire any young people. Any young people, you're listening to me, you better change your ways and go back and talk to your parents and grow up right and fly right. Don't listen to me.
And
he's a serious person. Everybody's serious until you find
he likes to laugh.
Sure.
He loves to laugh like anybody else.
My girlfriend laughs all the time every time I pull down my drawers. She gets a big hug. 316, you're live on the air. 316.
Hello, all right, man. I'm tired.
Hello.
I'm sorry. Brian.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this? I gotta get used to your phone number. I am sorry.
Come on.
I know.
Every time.
Mr. Columbus is in the studio. Everybody. Mr. Columbus is in the studio. Mr. Columbus, you have Miss Angela, and you have Mr. Miles in the studio.
Howdy, howdy. How you guys doing?
Columbus Barry, everybody.
Doing well. Good to hear your voice.
Always a pleasure.
Well, Columbus, we're going to. We were listening to a gentleman. His name is Bobby, and he was talking about Black Wall Street. And I agree the same thing. Black people are consumers and not investment people and business people, and we just like to spend, but we don't earn as much, and we don't have a voice. It's all about economic power. That's where your voice comes from. It's economic power. And if you get economic power, the state and the federal government will bow to you, give you little perks. You could almost break the law if you're big enough. You could own the law. You can lobby. Lobbyists is economic power. All right. So what we're going to do, Angela, don't leave. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to make a live call on this show. We're going to contact Bobby, see if he's around, and he can explain what Black Wall Street is and does and how the neighborhood is doing. I didn't expect this, but it seems pretty cool. I have to get off my headset. I have to get on my headset to make the call, so that means I have to take a little break. And Mr. Columbus Barry, his song. I'm looking for your song right now because I want to cue it up. How's your song doing, by the way? I know you've been promoting. How's it going?
It's going okay. It's going okay. Yeah, it's just doing okay. It's kind of motivating me to come out with something a little bit better. I have a second job, as you know, and I'm a security guard at this big like pool party that happens every Saturday and Sunday, and I've literally been telling people to listen to it. Like I've told maybe 100, 150 people, gave them my stuff and all that stuff, and they said they listen to it, they like it. You know, it's a good song, but I'm stuck in the mindset of trying to do something better. And I'm just staying level-headed and staying patient. You know, it's just a matter of time. I was supposed to have a studio session today to do another song, but apparently I lost my singing voice and it came back a little bit today. So I'm drinking some tea, trying to warm up my voice to see if it's enough. If it's not, I'm not doing the session tonight at 9. If it is, I might end up doing a session to have another song tonight, but I'm not. If it's not there, I'm not going to force it.
Right. Now, do you have I'm dating myself. I don't know what it is. Do they still have CDs? Do people still buy CDs? I don't know anymore.
I have one person who's been bugging me to try to get her actual physical copy, but to me personally, if I'm going to do a physical copy, I want it to have more than just one song. I want to put together like a little pack, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I want to have like a mural in it. I want to have an actual record, like a record player record. I want to have a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to have it like a little pack to give to them, like, you know, a bonus for getting a CD and stuff like that.
I think that's great. Because at old school, what we used to do, now that they're opening up the clubs again, we used to watch, you know, the people standing in line to go in a club. We used to pass out CDs, free CDs to them. And that's how we used to do it. But you don't need that anymore because you got social media. And your song is 2 minutes. Did you try putting your song on Twitter? Now, Twitter will allow you to play a two-minute song without cutting you off. Did you ever try that, like a teaser?
I've uploaded the link on there. But, you know,
yeah,
a lot of people
don't,
on my
yeah.
Twitter aren't very social. I don't know why.
Right. No, would you need it? You know, let me play with it. I mean, did I have it? I think I have it. Let me play with it. They get you on, because I got it. It's a two-minute limit. See, I don't want to do it with music because if I edit the music and I know the artist, it's like, wait a minute. If you edit it wrong, it tells a different story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But let me play with it, and when I get it down to 2 minutes, I'll send it to you. You're on my Facebook page now. I'll send it to you for approval, and if you like it, you put it on Twitter as a teaser, and meaning that it'll play right on Twitter. They don't have to hit a button. You don't have to go nowhere. It plays right there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so,
just let me know.
Yeah, I'll play around with it today. All right, here it is. The man's in the studio right now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Columbus Berry. Here we go. It's called Love and Affection, and I'll be right back with the live phone call.
Tell me, what can I do to make you smile? You don't have to cry no more. My umbrella stops tears coming down, I got you. You don't have to feel this way. I think you know what you deserve, so why settle for less? You deserve the best. I know for a fact that you've been hurt. Baby's gonna be alright. I'll give you my love and affection. I just wanna ease your mind. I wanna be the one you fall in love with. You got all my love and affection, love and affection, love and affection. You got all my love and affection, love and affection. Baby's gonna be alright. I'll give you my love and affection. I just wanna ease your mind. I wanna be the one you fall in love with. You got all my love and affection, love and affection, love and affection. You got all my love and affection, love and affection, love and affection. Face to make you smile, even if it takes some time. I wanna give you my whole life. Don't worry about the lights, and don't worry what you're feeling inside.
caught in the night, you're living in a lie. Baby, it's gonna be alright, alright, alright.
Baby, it's gonna be alright. I'll give you my love and affection. I just wanna ease your mind. I wanna be the one you fall in love with. You got all my love and affection, love and affection, love and affection. You got all my love and affection, love and affection. Baby's gonna be alright. I'll give you my love and affection. I just wanna ease your mind. I wanna be the one you fall in love with. You got all my love and affection, love and affection, love and affection. You got all my love and affection, love and affection, love and affection. Baby's gonna be alright.
There you go. Right on. Right on. Love and affection, Mr. Columbus Berry. Okay, I have my headset on. Can you hear me, Columbus?
Yes, I can.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to make a live call to this gentleman. His name is Bobby. And he was talking about Black Wall Street, the massacre that happened 100 years ago. His grandfather was part of that. He went back to Tulsa to make a living. But the racism is still there. But he was very interesting. Angela said that he has a blog talk show. I didn't know that. So the number is here. We make the call, and let's see if we can get him. This is a serious call. This is not a prank call. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody and see if, what happens. Here we go. And hold on, Mr. Columbus. I'll be right back. Okay, here we go. Okay. Here's the number, and let me see. Now I got to get back in the studio. Here's the call. Here's the number. Let's see if this works. Now, I don't know. I know Angela will like me to get it together and rehearse what I'm going to say and think what I'm going to say, but when I make these live calls, it doesn't work that way. It's just whatever I feel and whatever happens. I don't know what's going to happen. When that phone rings, I have no idea who's going to pick up or what I'm going to say, but let's try it. And the call did not work. Hold on.
Hey, it's your boy, Trey Eaton. Give me a call back or send me a text, and I'll get back with you as soon as possible.
All right, so we got a voicemail. That's what we got. All right, we took a shot. So anyway, I have to now, what we're talking about today, Columbus, is that, you know, what it's like being gay. And I want to understand what it is because, like I said, I understand the persecution and I'm down with you if it's about your civil rights. I'm there. But is gay really about accepting your sexuality? And why should I care if it is? I mean, is that what being gay is about? And I just want to understand, it is not homophobic. I'm not picking on anybody, but if this is about your sexuality, why should I accept that? And why does that have anything to do with civil rights? But I have this person on YouTube. His name is Corey. And he says the worst part about being gay. I'd like to know what the worst part about being gay is. So what I'm going to do at this point is I have to get off my headset because you cannot hear on my headset. So I have to get on the phone again. So I thought the call was going to go through. If you are an artist, a musical artist, and you're an independent artist and want your music played, you can come into the studio, participate in a conversation, and I'll play your music. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. You never know who's listening. You never know who's freaking listening. And we'll be right back. I'm getting off my headset, and we're going to listen to Corey, the worst part about being gay. You're listening to Hammer, 96.7 BT Radio. Mr. Columbus Berry, the celebrity musician, is in the studio. Call in. Say hello to him, too. Here we go, 319-527-6099. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. We have 111 in the studio. They have their finger on one. I'm seeing it. Maybe they want to talk. 111, you're live with the Hammer. Hello, 111.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, sir, I would like to talk, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
First of all, I'd like to preface my comments because I'm certain that my comments are likely to be distorted no matter what I say, but I'd like to preface my comments by saying that when I was a police officer working in Cook County in Chicago, I made several mm-hmm. arrests of people who unlawfully attacked and battered homosexuals. I saw to it they were prosecuted, and I was successfully prosecuted under the existing battery statutes designed because there weren't any hate crimes involving or dealing with sexuality. It was just the regular statutes that apply to any citizen who was battered unlawfully. So I want to make that clear. I have absolutely no brief for anyone who unlawfully persecutes anyone, only prosecution in accordance with the dictates of the Fifth Amendment. Now, having mm-hmm. said that, my problem is not with individual homosexuals. That's their business. That's what they want to do. My problem is with what I conceive and what I can legitimately say is a homosexual fascist agenda by homosexual activists. I watched the Gay Pride series on FX a little while ago, 6 hours. 6 hour mm-hmm. documentaries on three different nights, 2 hour mm-hmm. blocks each night. And all of it was suffused and saturated with Marxist dialectical materialism, which is aimed at class warfare and class strike. I mean, it was like listening to a struggle session in Mao's Red China. Now, I'm sure that is not true of most individual homosexuals. They're
right.
probably apolitical. I'm talking about the activist agenda that has seized Marxist dialogue, thought, and thought control. I have no brief. I think it is an affront to liberty. I'm utterly opposed to it. And again, that is my brief. That is my
right.
complaint. That is my exception with what I'm seeing mm-hmm. going on here today. This fascism
okay.
that I don't think should be allowed to stand.
Well, can we separate the fascism from the homosexuality? I mean, I understand
well,
a certain group. They
can yes,
say the same
can.
Thing with Black Lives
like
Matter.
Like I said, I think I believe in liberty. I think that people should be allowed
right.
to pursue endeavors with other adults as they choose. That's not my business.
Right.
I'm not at all interested. I don't even want to know about this sexual. I don't even care if they want to talk about it. But if people
right.
who have religious objections based on
mm-hmm.
our First Amendment God-given rights want to say
mm-hmm.
there's something abnormal about it or deviant or anything, or even
mm-hmm.
if it's an intellectual argument, it should be
mm-hmm.
allowed to be done without fear of this censorship and this thought control and all of this Orwellian doublespeak these people engage
right.
in.
Right. No, I agree 100% with you. I just want
to
know if you agree.
I do separate them, sir. I do make the separation.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Right. Right. Now, the problem, and please help me because you're more versed in what I'm with the culture because you have probably dealt with the culture being a police officer, and I'm sure you went to the classes and the meetings and whatever to get more involved into what they're feeling and the hate and the homophobic crimes out there. But you got to admit, sir, that there even in law enforcement, there are a lot of people. I mean, we're human beings, right? They're good cops, they're bad cops. But was back in the day, police officers did not like homosexuality. Wasn't it a crime? I mean, there was there's a couple of cops out there that will go in there and bust some heads, right? I mean, it's
well,
a different time now.
Well, I'd say strictly speaking, sir, the crime of sodomy was a crime. Sodomy, whether
right.
heterosexual
Ooh.
Or homosexual, was a crime. So, I mean, the Supreme Court did all kind of acrobatics in reversing itself. And
right.
Obergefell versus Hodges, which gave us homosexual marriage. And then you had Lawrence versus Texas. And you had Bowers versus Hardwick. They literally went back and forth like a wind vane.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with those Supreme Court decisions or not, but I am.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court literally reversed stare decisis and precedent within a span of 30 years, three times. So I don't think this had anything to do with a proper constitutional application. I think states should have the right to enact sodomy laws. I don't agree with them. But that is not a federal constitutional matter. It is a matter left to the states under the 10th Amendment. And if they choose to do so, fine. And if they do so, you have the right to importune your state legislature to change them back or repeal them. That's the way it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to get a federal regime of Supreme Court authorized laws against sodomy or homosexual marriage. That is a state matter for each individual state to decide. Unfortunately, we don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the Supreme Court.
Do you think that?
Yes, I'm saying yes. Sodomy was a crime, but again, ideally, it was supposed to be enforced equally against heterosexuals and homosexuals.
Right. But we don't. But no cops are going to enforce sodomy on a heterosexual couple. I mean, come on.
It was done.
Yeah.
It was rare, I'll admit, but it was done. But look, what we're talking about now is a problem, not of the law in and of itself. We're talking about a problem with human beings deciding unto themselves what the rule of law is rather than what the common law court jurisdictions and the law and the black letter text of the law says. That's always a problem with everything, isn't it?
True.
The human factor.
True that. But do you think this gay rights movement had anything to do with Title IX? Do you think this is why Title IX became
a
factor?
Oh, the smoke screen they use. Yeah. You know, it's called intersectionality. It's another one of the little tricks.
Right.
You know, the whole idea
right.
of a ranking oppression on a hierarchical scale and where you intersect with the oppression and according to your ranking on the hierarchical scale is how much attention you're supposed to get with regard to the law and the remedies to be made and all of that stuff. I mean, the whole thing is so Orwellian. I mean, everything about what we're looking at today, from critical race theory to homosexual activism to radical egalitarian feminism to the whole mess of it, all of it is interlinked. I mean, we are in a cultural war, and one side has not started to really start fighting yet.
I agree with you. But going back to homosexuality, like I said, when you invade anybody's civil liberties, I'm behind you 100%. I'll wave the sign. I'm marching with you.
Me too.
The problem that I find with some of the gay community, and we're going into the transgender too, is that they want to be accepted, but if you don't accept them, you are criminalized. I mean, you are.
These people are like brown shirts. They are like the Sturm Abteilung in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. They're like just like the brown shirts in many cases.
Right.
Intimidation, extortion, and threats in order to get you to go along with their program. And then, ironically, that's the very same tactics that they said were used against homosexuals.
Right.
Frequently in many cases in human affairs, it's not I'm really on principle opposed to the bad things that you do. I just want to be in a situation where I can impose it on you. And that goes for many endeavors involving human affairs. And this is just one more of them. The only thing with this particular outfit is that many of them are a bunch of dialectical Marxist/fascists who believe in class warfare and class struggle.
Wow. Okay. You make sense, but to go from there.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but one more thing I want to add about the transgender situation.
Sure.
I mean, these are the people, many of whom claim to believe in science, and there is no operation you can possibly do that we know of at this time. No matter what mutilation is done to perfectly healthy sexual organs and secondary sexual sex characteristics, no matter what you do, there is nothing you can do to alter your chromosomal makeup. It's going to show up in every cell of your body, every single fingernail, every hair. You're going to be either XY or XX unless you're one of those very rare chromosomal exceptions, which almost, for purposes of our discussion, are irrelevant. You're going to be either XY or XX. Period. And if they find your remains, there's nothing, there's no flesh on your bones, and they get enough DNA from your bones are going to tell whether you are male or female. The anthropologist will know.
Right.
Now, we can try to pretend, play let's pretend, and that's what we're doing, but we're looking at the reality that butts up against this fantasy they try to put on us when transgender women, the very best women athletes that there are, the very best, the very most dedicated, the hardest training, go up against mediocre transgender male athletes who are not even competitive against other men in their sport.
Right.
Dominate women's sports. I mean, dominate
right.
them. They just break. I mean, like, I had this one champion woman high school sprinter in a 100-meter event, and she was saying he was across the finish line when I was at the 80-meter mark. And
yeah,
he's not even competitive with men.
Right. And I don't understand these universities, because there's laws now being passed as we speak about transgender athletes. I did the report on it, transgender athletes in universities. Some universities saying there's no way. Some universities say yes. And I don't understand it, because I wouldn't want my daughter on a wrestling team or whatever team that has some kind of contact going against a guy. It's a guy. You can, I don't care what he thinks he is. It's a guy. And not only
there
is
was
a guy,
female martial arts
steroids
artist
too.
Who was complaining about this not too long ago. She had a bout with a transgendered male, and she was a top-rated contender among the women. And she said he broke her skull. He broke her orbital bone and a couple of the bones in her skull. And she said she had never been up against that kind of power before. She never even experienced it. She said it was unimaginable what she had felt from this guy. He was a guy. And by the way, my brother's a homosexual, and I love him, and he agrees with me pretty much.
Right. I have a lot of friends who are homosexuals, and they agree. There's certain fringe elements in every group. Don't you agree? So maybe these activists, homosexuality, as you want to call them, fascists, maybe this is a fringe group, you think? I mean, just like the Klan?
Well, you got to agree with me.
Horrible.
Right now, they've got the biggest megaphone, don't they?
They do. They actually do.
I mean, it's enormous. It is all out of proportion to their numbers and what their influence should be. And, and I think that accounts for the disproportionate attention that they're getting. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I never seen it come so rapidly. It happened in the armed force. I was a member of the armed force. I'm a three-war combat veteran. I served in Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Operation Iraqi Freedom when I was in the National Guard.
Congratulations.
They went from don't ask, don't tell, to now open celebration and advocacy within less than a decade.
Obama
a little bit more than a decade. Did you see this
Obama.
Insane recruiting commercial where they're talking about this woman who's a Patriot Battery commander Patriot Battery commander, and they're celebrating her two moms? I like to know what that has to do with recruiting for the combat efficiency of the armed forces. Honest to God, I do. And then I looked at a Russian commercial, and I swear after watching a Russian commercial to recruit the same kind of recruiting ad that made me want to go in the Army and go to Ranger School and all this other stuff. I mean, I want to go fight for Mother Russia.
Yeah, I have a question. Excuse me.
Then I got this thing. They even have the woman, this anime cartoon. And the girl's going over the obstacle course, and she lands a superhero three-point landing. It's beyond absurd.
I have a question.
Well, here you go. Mr. Columbus Berry, do you have a question?
I think this point contributes to the degradation of the efficacy and combat efficiency of the armed forces. And now it's really getting serious, because there's nothing more important that the federal government does is to ensure we have a functioning armed forces that can take care of this country's national security interests and protect us from foreign invasion.
Wow. Well, Mr. Berry, Columbus Berry has a question for you, sir. Columbus Berry?
Yes. First off, I want to say thank you for your service, kind sir. And what you're saying is very valid. There's certain things that I don't understand either. Do you think that they're trying to target, I've noticed that, please, people, do not get mad at me when I say this, but, the homosexual community, they're very supportive of each other, and they get more and more backing than they need. Like, they'll see, hey, the military accepts gay people, so why not sign up for them? Maybe they'll give us a home where we feel welcome. You think that's, a tactic that the military is using? That's a tactic it seems like everybody's using to get their marketing up higher to where more people will be accessible to their content. They like to put homosexuality there and be like, oh, you guys are welcome here. So they get a bigger crowd to get either more sales, more publicity, or more eyes on them to grow their whole image of what they're trying to do. You think that's what they're doing or what?
Look, you got to understand how all of this came to be. I mean, it's like everything about history is has an origin, and it has a starting point. And this war we're in, which is actually, we're in a war involving cultural Marxism. Economic Marxism, cultural Marxism is economic Marxism translated into cultural terms. When the Marxists couldn't figure out why the world didn't, the whole world didn't turn a revolution in the wake of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917, they started to ask themselves a question. The slaughter of the First World War, the horrific corruption of the ruling classes, all these empires that have now faded, the whole world should have gone Bolshevik and should have gone communist, or Marxist at least. Why did it happen? They had this unprecedented slaughter for no good purpose. Why didn't they come over to our side? And they began to see there were things that kept it from happening, and they identified these crucial points. Number one, the nuclear family. Number two, religious institutions. And number three, the institutions of government. And they said, we've got to go about transforming them. It's going to take us a long time. We have to do a long march with all these institutions. But if we do it, we can successfully change the culture, and we can eventually successfully change the world so it'll be amenable to Marxist thought. One of the primary intellectual minds in doing this was a gentleman named Herbert Marcuse. Now, he came over from this outfit called the Institute for Social Research they set up in Germany, in Frankfurt, Germany. And when the Nazis came to power, they had to get the hell out because they wound up in concentration camps. They didn't. And they came to the United States. And Herbert Marcuse wrote a very influential and seminal book. It was called Eros and Civilization. It was all the rage on the college campuses in the 1960s. You ought to read it. It's called Eros and Civilization. Now, it posited that the only way to achieve liberation and true human freedom was through a concept that he termed polymorphous perversity. And polymorphous perversity included everything we're looking at today. It all started in the college campuses, and one of the most important planks of this platform is the acceptance of homosexuality as normative, positive, and good, and in some respects, even superior to heterosexuality, because after all, they don't breed and create more despoilers of the environment. So, I mean, you look at all of these things and you can see how this transmogrification is taking place because leftists, Marxists, and hyper-radicals have completely taken over the college campuses.
Well, you are right, but there's a variation of Marxism. I mean, you can put socialism in there, too, if you like, because it is a variant of Marxism. And socialism is like when people retire, they get their welfare or they get their Social Security checks. So isn't there a form of Marxism that we already embed in our government?
Let's look at what Karl Marx himself said in Das Kapital. He said socialism is just but an intermediate step to Marxism.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, we're not talking, it's not like all this stuff is secret. I mean, these people have been laying it out for years. I mean, you look
right
at the goals they set. I think it was the House Un-American Activity set out goals of communism. They listed 43 of them. 27 of them have been achieved. And at the time they put this out, they accused them of being paranoid McCarthyites. But 27 of the 43 goals have been achieved. See, they always do that. One thing about the communists do, they love to ridicule. See, ridicule has been one of the favorite tools in the utility belt. Either you're a paranoid, redneck, know-nothing simpleton if you go along with these demagogues. And McCarthy was a rather loathsome individual, don't get me wrong. I mean, you look at him, he was repellent, he was an alcoholic, he attacked the wrong targets, he ruined people's lives for no good reason. But he was correct in saying that communists had taken foothold in the federal government. He just identified the wrong targets.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with him. But the point of matter, he was trying to bring attention to a real danger that now exists. We've got open Maoists in the Biden administration. Can you imagine that? Maoists. the greatest murderer in the history of mankind, Chairman Mao Zedong. There are people openly admiring this guy. What if they'd have said something nice about Adolf Hitler? We wouldn't hear the end of it.
Well, we have the same
Biden
thing.
Biden is up there misquoting Chairman Mao, trying to pander to the radical feminists. Women hold up half the world. No, women hold up half the sky there, Brother Biden. You're listening to Anita Dunn too much. She's the Maoist in your cabinet.
Well, let's be fair. Come on the other political side, you got Trump with North Korea sending love letters. I mean, it's politics.
Let me see. I'm thinking of what Trump did, and again, I know Trump is flawed, but when I look at the accomplishments of his administration, not his personnel, not his tweets, not what he actually accomplished. I mean, there's just no comparison to when this bumbling, senile old goat and his cackling joker of a vice president and the accomplishments of President Trump with regard to the economy under 3.5% unemployment in many places and generally at 3.6 with a GDP that was going off the chain, the energy independence, peace deals in the Middle East between implacable enemies, tax cuts. Ever-growing opportunities and prosperities for individuals heretofore locked out of many of these systems, making NATO pay their fair share of the cost to defend Europe, getting tariff deals, the ridiculous imbalanced tariff between China and the United States, trying to redress that and set that back on balance, and a host of other things, criminal justice reform. With the actual accomplishments of this man compared to what this marionette with these radicals with their hands stuffed up his behind and moving his mouth, there's absolutely no comparison. Yeah, I know Trump was flawed. Sometimes you say things that kind of bug me a little bit, but I believe the man loved this country, and to my mind, he was the greatest president I've seen in my lifetime. And I've been studying this stuff.
Really?
I used to like Ronald Reagan, but I got to admit, Donald Trump, when in regard to his abilities as an executive, notice that as an executive, getting things done. That man, and let's not even mention the border and border security. He had a stable border. They inherited a stable border.
A stable border with 15,000 kids getting raped. Well, yo, can you
look what we got now. Look what we got now. What we got now is literally human trafficking being enabled by the Democrat Party. Literally. At least one-third or more of the women come across the border are raped.
But that's
and
we've
got,
been
we got, what, 500,000? I believe the ratio of people apprehended to the people that get away is roughly 3-1. And they've apprehended, I think, 700,000 people.
How many kids are raped? How many kids are raped in the concentration?
This person, his name is Cole. And Cole, wait, Cole, I can barely hear you. You sound like you're in a tunnel. And Cole has a reply. Go ahead, Cole. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Well, how many kids were raped in those concentration camps that you think up to?
You mean the ones right now that are 400% overcrowded? You mean like Pod B? Go to Pod B and see the overcrowding in that pod down there. What they tried to keep the Senate investigating committee from going down there and looking at it. Remember when Ted Cruz tried to get there and this woman was literally trying to block his line of sight so he could look in there?
I remember when Ted Cruz, maybe you've forgotten, maybe you need to be reapprised of.
We've got people down there being tested positive for COVID who are given taxpayer-supplied tickets to go into the interior of the United States without even being detained or quarantined. Nothing Donald Trump did was anywhere near as bad as what's going on there right now.
You sound like a preacher, dude, with that getting that bass in your voice.
Look, sir, now you're
going to
talk about me rather than what I said.
Fucking...
You're going
to
make
the
issue me? I'm not responsible for what's going on at the border. I didn't cause this. Fuck Donald Trump. You don't like him, fine. Be honest and admit it. You just don't like Donald Trump, so you don't care what the facts are.
Oh, the facts.
That's okay. I can understand that, too. because I despise these Democrats and President Biden. But at least one thing, I won't lie about them. I won't lie about what they do.
Hey, Brian, I'll catch you tomorrow, brother. Fuck this.
Yeah, I bet you. And you too.
Shut the fuck up, idiot.
Not hardly. That's up to the host, not you. Unfortunately, we have a stage now where people are literally in denial of the truth because of their grievances and their resentments, and they don't want to have an honest debate.
Well, that was special. I guess I missed everything.
Sorry, Mr. Jackson. Look.
It's okay.
Look, that gentleman obviously didn't want to debate anything. He wanted.
That was special. I guess I missed everything.
You have me on.
Sorry, Mr. Jackson.
Are you listening to me on the radio? Because then that gives us the feedback. I mean,
yeah,
on the marquee. Yeah.
Yeah, I cut it. But yeah, some people don't want to have a discussion about this anymore. They know what the truth is. They don't want the truth to come out. They engage in personal attack. They engage in ridicule.
Sure.
And they'll do everything to avoid the facts about the subject.
I hear you. And there are people like that. And I respect that. They want to voice their opinion. This is a platform where people can have opinions, and we're not going to all agree. And that's it. Everybody has a right for their opinion. And you're right. Some people don't want to engage, you know.
They don't. I prefer clarity of agreement anyway. I'm not necessarily looking for people to agree with me. I like to test what I believe against what other people believe. And, hey, let people make up their own minds.
Right.
But they're afraid
of
that, Mr. Jack. They are afraid. They are terrified of that because I believe they are certain their ideas, their beliefs, and their actions will not stand up to scrutiny. The light of day is the best disinfectant.
I agree. But they have to see the light for the disinfectant to work. And,
some people, you cannot, their belief system will not allow them to do it, no matter what. I mean, you could hold up the light all day long to, people who are at the dedicated fascists, and there's not a thing they're going to do to agree with anything. There's no way.
That's true.
Their belief system is antithetical to seeing even an antithesis or a synthesis. I mean, they just can't. They refuse to do it. I mean, they have an agenda.
That's okay.
The agenda is domination and power. Domination and power. Nothing else. And there's not much compromise to be had when you're looking for domination and power.
When you're looking for domination and power, you end up in destruction anyway. The problem that I have, our society, I keep saying, life is not complicated. I mean, life is simple, but people make it complicated. If a person does not want to see or agree what you have to say or get offended what you have to say, conversation, debate is over. It's like, fine, go your way. You know, the problem that I have with society and I have with social media is that they pound it in you. You must listen to me, and you have to agree with me, and you have to come my way. And if you don't, we're going to criminalize you, and you're nothing but a dirty dog. This is the attitude that started to emerge within the last 5 years. If I don't agree with homosexuality, if I don't agree with transgender, or I don't agree with Trump supporters, then I, you know, then the Trump supporters hate me and they want to barbecue me. And if I do agree with them, and then the leftists are saying you're racist, and they want to throw out that racist word. And it's like, dude, it doesn't really matter. It's just my opinion. And I may have something important to say that may give you thought. But if you don't want to hear it, then why talk? I mean,
well,
I
we're living in an era that you may have heard this term, maybe you haven't.
That's true,
I mean,
Mr. Berry.
I think you probably have. It's called postmodernism. Mm-hmm. Modernists used to believe in things like transcendently objective moral truths and transcend objective truth. Postmodernism mm-hmm. says there is no objective truth. Mm-hmm. There's my reality and your reality. It's my truth and your truth. And everybody's
right.
got a truth.
Right.
See, and that's why everything is so chaotic right now, because we're living with all these postmodernists assuming increasing domination in the zeitgeist and the dialogue of the day.
And that's what
I mean,
changes.
You know,
and
a
Mr.
human life is not really a human life. If a woman doesn't want it, it's not really a human life.
Right.
I mean, you see, you take all these things and there's no real objective truth anymore.
Well, when you destroy facts and you start making alternative facts, we got anarchy. Mr. Berry, did you have something that you wanted to say? And I didn't really quite hear it.
Oh, I was basically saying people are afraid to have conversations with each other. They're afraid to converse.
Sure.
They're afraid to hear other opinions. They're so closed-minded without factual proof. And they hear anything and see anything on the Internet that's not backed by evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to go with it, and then when they get proved wrong, their emotions start to get in. You can't have an actual debate when you have emotions attached to it, because then
True. You
start disregarding everything that's factual and start coming up with opinion based.
Right.
So,
right.
And I know
let's
this
give you
is completely
a perfect
different.
Example
that's,
of that. That's been in the news very recently. Okay. We know other stuff about the 1619 Project. You had these so-called scholars coming up with the idea the United States is founding actually didn't start on July 4th, 1776, and started in 1619. And you know, in order to support their contention, they point out that the first 20 Africans bought here, kidnapped Africans bought here, were enslaved when they got here, which literally is not the truth. It literally is untrue. First of all, they weren't enslaved. Because slavery did not exist in the Virginia colony at the time they were brought here.
Mm-hmm.
Indentured servitude did. And what happened to these slaves was these kidnapped Africans, because they weren't actually slaves. They were taken from a Spanish slaver by an English pirate ship that deposited them there, I don't know, maybe for money or whatever. They didn't know what to do with them. They just deposited them and left them there. And these slaves were pressed into indentured servitude. And all of them had been released after 7 years. Now, ironically, the first legal case brought to bear in the colonies regarding slavery was taken by one of the freed slaves who had taken the name of Anthony Johnson, and he wanted to keep permanent contracted indentured servant, a man named Casor, C-A-S-O-R, and the court ruled in his favor. That was the first case. A freed African slave from indentured servitude, freed African from indentured servitude, who wanted to keep another black man as a permanent slave.
Right.
So things like this just overlooked by these so-called scholars, and they overlook the fact that the Declaration of Independence, if you look at the document that gave the reasons to impel the separation from Great Britain, not one of them. Not one of the reasons out of the 27 reasons in that document listed, not one of them gave as a grievance that we are afraid the British are going to end slavery in the colonies or that they're going to free all the slaves. Not one of them. But that was another central thesis of the 1619 Project. that the revolution was founded to create, to allow for slavery and white supremacy. And that's one reason it's there to say slavery. Right? Now, they weren't afraid that the British were going to end slavery. The British had slavery in their Caribbean colonies. They were starting to end it in the home islands, but they had slavery in West Indies. They weren't going to get rid of their slaves in the West Indies and the Caribbean. So, I mean, people just make up things. They make up things, and don't you dare disagree with them or offer an alternative point of view, or we're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks.
Well, they believe the journalists, and I think I'm trying to remember. I think the New York Times, there was a journalist in the New York Times were working on the 1619 theory, and it was by, I don't have it in front of me, so I hate to misquote it. But if I remember right, it was 20 slaves they were talking about at the time that was enslaved. And I'm thinking it was in Virginia for some reason. I mean, help me out. Just pieces. I don't have it in front of me is what I know. And I should pull it up so I know what I'm talking about. But I hear you. I know a little bit of the 1619 Project, and I know that maybe they use a little creative writing for it. I don't know. But the NAACP and Urban League picked it up. And, of course, you got your activists. They picked it up. And, therefore, it must
be
true,
right?
The New
York Times even admitted that it was flawed. They issued a weasel-worded retraction on much of the central theses of the 1619 Project. They said that we now think that one of the primary motivations for some of the colonists to declare independence. It was not a universal motivation of all of them. And the 1619 Project didn't make it clear. They were weasel wording. They know the whole thing is nonsense. Much of it. Anyway.
Right.
Much of the premise of it is nonsense. And they had to weasel word their way out of it. But even they issued a tepid retraction on much of the stuff. Ironically, they even made a defense for the King Cotton theory that those white slaver racists were making before the Civil War, that King Cotton was the primary basis of the American economy. And they were literally using double-blind bookkeeping and double-bookkeeping accounting in order to make this theory done, which is what they did at the time, saying, look, if you make war on the plantation economy, you're going to wreck the economy not only of the United States but of the world. And now the 1619 Project, ironically, is giving credit to that same spurious and discredited theory, King Cotton.
Well,
I mean, you know, it was significant. Now, don't get me wrong. The plantation economy was significant. It was like about 6 or 7% of GDP. That's a significant number. But they were trying to claim it was more than half to include the value of the slaves. It was just an out-and-out lie and or distortion. And it was, like I said, it was ironically the same argument used by the slavers who want to justify it.
Yeah.
It's really quite ironic the way these things come full circle.
And when you have misinformation, it gets a little bit more dicey. I mean, we got to a point where social media could turn facts into alternative facts, and people don't know what is true or what is not true. They get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Before, how I used to know things are true because they're facts, fact-based, but then when you discredit facts, we have a problem. When you don't even believe it. Some people believe that Trump is still president. Some people believe that it was stolen. The election was stolen. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of people, whether you're a Trump supporter or whatever, but you're still on this planet, and we do go by our democracy. They're still doing votes in Arizona to try to overturn that President Trump really won. So what can you do? What can you do? We got to go back to the show, though. I want to thank you, caller, for calling in, and I am going to play. And you're more than welcome to come back. I love this conversation because we talk about these topics all the time. But we're going to go back to the main topics. We are here, and we are queer, and it is Gay Pride Month in June. And, again, what I stand for is I stand for civil rights, and I'm behind you. If I see anybody persecuting anybody of race, color, skin, religion, or sex, I'm behind you. But I don't know what gay is. I don't know what is being gay and what are you promoting gay pride. Is it because of you're promoting sexuality? If that's what you're promoting, that you have the right to have sex with another, why should I care? But
you know, I am heterosexual. I am exclusively heterosexual. I love being heterosexual. But I'm not proud of being a heterosexual. It's what I am. It's an immutable characteristic, I think, that I really didn't have any control over. It was just the way I was made. I'm no more proud of it than the fact I have brown eyes and brown skin. It was something that I had no control over that I just got. I'm grateful to be heterosexual because I love being heterosexual because I love women. But I'm not proud of it. That's why I'm trying to understand this. This pride seems to be a narcissistic attempt to hype up their reality beyond what it actually should be. Maybe it's a response to what they perceive as persecution. That I can understand, but I'm not going to accept it.
I understand. And that's the thing. And that's the thing what I have against a lot of these groups. It's like, hey, we don't accept it, but we're still cool people. Can we be friends? Because now you have to accept this or it's nothing, or you're this and this and this. And it's like, there's where you go with your Marxism. It's like, if I don't accept your behavior behind closed doors, then that means I'm a bad guy, or I don't accept this or this. And
I think that's gone
the
beyond just
I
acceptance. I think now you're required to celebrate it.
Yes. You're exactly
right. I don't think if it was just acceptance, I might not have too much to say about it. Now you're required to celebrate it. You're required to elevate it. You're required to extol it. And in some of the more radical cases that, remember, the radical, what considered radical today, can become mainstream within a year or two. You're now required to even say homosexuality is superior in many cases or all cases to heterosexuality.
Wow.
I've seen that too. Like I said, I see the arguments made by homosexual environmentalists that breeders create more people that despoil the environment.
Mm.
Human beings despoil the environment, and people who breed should take into account the fact they're creating more people that are going to wreck the environment. It's a Malthusian thing they're now starting to accept now. Homosexuality combined with Malthusianism. Can you imagine anything? Homosexual activism and Malthusianism combined. Can you imagine anything worse?
It's here, though. It is here, and we must accept it. Like you said, we're required to accept it, and so that starts the show. I said, if I'm required to accept this, or maybe there's something I'm missing. And here's Corey, and we have about seven people in the studio, so I'm going to mute everybody so we can listen to Corey on YouTube. And he describes the worst part about being gay. Here he is. And I agree with you 100%, caller. But here's Corey. Here we go. I'm going to mute everybody. Stay with me. Here's Corey. All right. Here we go. Okay. Everybody's muted. And let's give a shot. Let's listen to Corey. Here we go.
This video is about homosexuality. We're going to talk about it. So the other day I stumbled across this article that really, really resonated with me, and I just had to share. It's called The Epidemic of Gay Loneliness, and it was published by Huffington Post. It initially caught my eye because I think gay. I was like, I'm gay. Ooh, sure. But gay loneliness also struck a chord with me, and it wasn't as obvious once I kind of read it and digested it, I was like, oh, shit. Overall, kind of the thesis of the article is an examination of, despite all the progress we've made towards equality and acceptance, legally and socially, why is it that gay people are disproportionately affected by mental health issues like suicide and depression and anxiety, and the list goes on? Gay people are now, depending on the study, between 2 and 10 times more likely than straight people to take their own lives. Also, we're twice as likely to have a major depressive episode. It gives so much perspective into how being gay can impact someone's life on such a deep psychological level that really hasn't been talked about a lot. You don't see it on TV. You see the happy coming out and then everything's fine. But you don't see is how the process of coming out and the complications that could occur and very much do occur on the daily basis, the impact that those have on gay people's lives. I've shared some of my story before. I've shared my coming out. I've shared that experience. But there's still a lot that I haven't shared in terms of what post-coming out really looked like and how my peers handled it and the bullying that I experienced. As you may already know, I grew up in a small town in Indiana. Very conservative, very agricultural small town in Indiana that I don't think was ready for this. So I came out pretty early, at age 16, after my freshman year of high school. I was ready. I had acknowledged and recognized the feelings that I was having inside towards muscly, sweaty men, 2 + 2 = 4, and that, hey girl, here's the door. So I was ready. I was like, I'm gay, I'm here to stay, let's do this, Indiana. I thought I knew what to expect. I thought, I was like, okay, people will treat me differently, you know. I might get like a little bit more attention because like I'm like that gay kid and people like might want a gay BFF or something. And so I was like, ooh, like who will be my friend now? I also knew that like some people would be stupid. Like, I mean, there was like a row of just straight, just like huge trucks that like parked in. The moral of the story is I knew the setting I was in and I thought I was prepared for it. Keyword being thought I was prepared for it until one day I was leaving lunch with a group of my friends and just going about our business, just having a normal conversation. And this is like leaving like mass high school lunch. So like half of the school is like walking down the hallway at the same time. And it's just a very like, so we're just caring about our own conversations. It's like having a blast, whatever, until piercing through everyone comes,
hey, Ethan, dicks are for chicks.
Guys, we have a big problem. I see way too many dudes walking around the gym with skinny arms.
So let's go back to me thinking I was ready to... We're just caring about our own conversations. It's like having a blast, whatever, until piercing through everyone comes,
hey, Ethan, dicks are for chicks.
So let's go back to me thinking I was ready to handle that. I went from feeling like just one of the crowd, one of like many students, to the only person in that hallway. And whether it was true or not, everybody, all eyes were on me. I just remember going from blending in and feeling like one of my peers to immediately being ostracized and immediately feeling...
Oh, grow up. That little whiny bitch. I mean, is that what it is? I mean, come on. I mean, that's part of high school. And this is where I get off the ship. All right. I mean, how many, when you going back to high school, we said things to each other. I mean, you don't have to just be, but every time somebody says something, you're, hey, Ethan, you're a dick sucking bitch or whatever. Oh, my world just crumbled. And I went from there and I was all alone. Shut the hell up. You know, shut up.
You know what? In 1942, there was a book that was published. It was a big bestseller. It sold all over the United States. It was called Our Hearts Were Young and Gay. It was made into a movie in 1944. Now, back then,
mm-hmm.
the word gay
mm-hmm.
wasn't at all controversial. It just meant joyous, festive, celebratory.
Right.
That's all it meant.
Right.
Now, to listen to this gentleman speaking, mm-hmm. but he spoke introspectively, I got to admit. But he's
right.
wondering about if he really is gay, which makes me wonder about their adoption of this term gay to describe them. Take a word that was
right.
normally used regularly in conversation, like I said, just to mean joyous, festive, and celebratory,
mm-hmm.
and now
mm-hmm.
to adopt it to something that most people regard as something, or not most, many, and probably
mm-hmm.
at the time it all started as something absolutely morally depraved. whether right or wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what most people probably thought. Again, was it a reaction to that perception, or was it an attempt to counter the very real depressive emotions that many homosexuals feel about the as they realize their sexual status and their attempt to accommodate it? I really got to wonder, because they almost seem desperate in their usage of this term.
Right. You're exactly right. I mean, I know a lot of gay men. I know one gay guy. He's a director, a really well-known director. I won't mention his name. We used to talk all the time. He was gayer than whatever. But we talked like men, and we joked. I knew he was gay. He used to make jokes with me going, I could take you to my side, and if you were this way and this way. And we would laugh about it. It wasn't anything that my world crumbled because I was straight. He was gay. He knew it. And we joked. And he said, he confided in me one time. He says, you know what, Brian, I hate gay men. I said, you're gay. He goes, yeah, I am gay, but I love straight men. I don't like fags. And there's a lot of battle within the self-loathing in the gay community. I understand there's will to be accepted because you don't accept yourself, so you want us to accept. I don't get it, and it drives me crazy. And this little incident that it traumatized this guy. Well, why don't you be black and then be outside and be taken down and beat your, you know, call yourself a nigger every day and then be spit on and then have to go to a different bathroom and then you get, you know, you know where I'm going. This,
I know.
To me, is nothing compared to what Jewish people, let's go Jewish people, we want to go there. We can go Asian people, what's happening with Asian people right now. It's just this. What they call being traumatized goes to 20 times beyond belief. Cole, welcome back to the studio. I mean, are you back, Cole, or are you not back?
I'm back.
Okay. I'm trying to understand, and listening to this guy is pissing me off. I want to bitch slap him. That's it. What do you want, the world to take care of you, to cuddle you, to hold you, to stroke you, to nurse you? It's called life, dude, and you got to toughen up.
I mean, like when I was growing up in my neighborhood, was racial. I moved from a ghetto on the west side when I was young. My parents did, and they moved to a emerging black middle class neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And but it was Mayor Daley had a deliberate policy of segregating that part of the city. They built the expressway, which ran along 99th Street. It ran like roughly east-west, and it turned back north and south in order to separate the mostly white area of Roseland from Roseland Heights. The problem for me and young kids like me was that all the stuff that you wanted to get, like the balsa wood gliders and the comic books and water pistols and stuff, were over there where the white people lived. And I had to go across. I had literally frequently had to run a gauntlet of attack from white boys who were beating me up just for being in their neighborhood. I don't know how many fights I got into. I lost count.
Right.
I didn't call me names and everything else and be chasing me down the street. I know what it's like for people to be after you for what they perceive you to be. But it didn't bother me because no matter what they thought about me, I knew what I was. It didn't crush my spirit. Not to be accepted by people who hated me. What the hell do I want to be with them for?
Right.
And I move on to people who do. And by the way, I met lots of great white people whom I had great relationships who benefited me enormously. And so, you know, I was, you know, a mixed bag, like most things with human relations are.
Right.
You get over it. Like you said, get over it. Toughen up.
Right. My father, and I made a joke. We were brought up in Philadelphia, then he moved, and we went to Inglewood and Compton, and then he had this great idea. He says, I work for the federal government. Let's get a house on the beach. And I go, what? And he goes, you're going to love it, Brian. I go, I am. So he moved us away from people who look like me to Gidget goes to the beach, blonde and blue. That's all I saw, seas of blonde and blue. I said, we're us, Dad, where are we? And he goes, we're it. I go, we're it? He goes, yeah. I go, we're living on nothing but white people? Yeah, because I want you to stay out of trouble, and I want you to join a gang. Stay out of trouble. I go to school. Everybody's picking on me. Nigger this, nigger that. I never had that problem in Englewood. I go, you don't understand. You know what I mean? You can't move me to this neighborhood where I'm the only black guy here, and you think it's, I'm going to stay out of trouble. I'm fighting more than I fought before, but at least I have friends behind me this time. You know what I mean? I go, you're a genius.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah,
I
you know, I mean, I know. I mean, look, I tell you something. Okay, so these white boys, they jump in, they beat me up, and they, okay, fine, got it. But
right.
You know what? I go into the wrong set in a black neighborhood, and I got beat up as bad or worse.
You got beat
up. I wasn't with their set. I wouldn't know I wasn't an Egyptian Cobra or Blackstone Ranger or a gangster disciple. You know what I mean? Say, look, human beings are tribal. That's the one thing we got to understand. But one thing about the tribalism, you can always meet somebody with whom you can have a good and mutually profitable relationship, and guess what they become? They become your friends. This is what I learned about life and living.
That is true.
When it comes to stereotyping, I don't stereotype people. I try to avoid it. I understand that stereotypes are based on true generalizations to some extent. Okay, so I got that. But when I'm dealing with an individual, I don't let that govern me until I know something about that individual. There are homosexuals who are utterly masculine. There's nothing effeminate about them. In fact, they reject the idea of femininity altogether. In fact, particularly in their personal lives, they want to be sexually attracted to the masculine.
Right.
So, I mean, they're like any other group of people, they span the gamut. There are heterosexuals who are effeminate. I mean, one thing about human sexuality and human conduct and personality types, it spans the gamut of things in almost every particular when you're dealing with individuals. That's the problem with this collective thinking we're undergoing today. Yes, there are truths about the collective, like black people overwhelmingly vote Democrat. Okay, that's the truth. That's the truth. Every black person doesn't. If you're talking about individuals, you just can't make an assumption unless you know the individual.
Right.
So we are getting away from this notion of dealing with each other as individuals. Well, remember, this country was founded on the notion of individual liberty. That's what it was really founded on, not white supremacy. Liberty. And liberty is defined as freedom from arbitrary and capricious government control. It's different from freedom. Freedom ain't the same thing as liberty.
Right.
And
but we're taking away
that recognition demands we account for each other as individuals.
Right. And this is what's happening with our society and why we're at war and we're having a civil war. And listen to my words. We are at a civil war right now. And everybody's just trying to find their way. Everybody wants peace, but it's just... I mean, when you talk about cancel culture or you're talking about Antifa or you're talking about Black Lives Matter, there's certain people who just can't accept certain things, and they won't accept certain things. And so I don't know why all of a sudden on social media we could talk, you know, you can't have conversations anymore. It's like, this is the line. This is who you are. I want to hurt you. That's it. That's the rule.
Because everything about cultural Marxist and Marxism is geared to the collective. Everything about it is. It is a negation, a complete rejection of the individual. It is contrary to and in conflict with human nature itself. That's why it always fails to produce positive results anyway.
And it doesn't help when we have laws, when they create laws for that, too. It doesn't help. I can go into the laws how it can protect women. That if you get to a point where okay, I understand, and I know I'm going off the subject, but it's an example. I understand that in the past women cannot come to court and say that guy raped me because then she will be tried too in her past and be treated like a whore. I understand that, but now we're going to the other side where a woman just feels uncomfortable and she can make an allegation and she can destroy a man's career, his family, and his livelihood. Which is a mere accusation. So, that's a law.
Well, that's because radical feminists have hijacked courts, particularly the family courts. But I'd like to remind you that it wasn't that long ago, well within living memory, that it was common, it was a common thing for men to be hanged for rape. Men were regularly hanged for rape in this country. In fact, one of the more famous of them is, oddly enough, Emmett Till's father, who was convicted of rape by court-martial for murdering and raping two Italian women in Italy. And
wow,
he was hanged
in
by court. The last person executed in the United States, he was a soldier, he was a GI, he was convicted of court-martial for murder. It's the trial transcript, the court-martial is available online. You can research it, you can get it. But ironically, he was one. And Carol Chessman, a white man, was the last person executed in California in 1954 after having been convicted of rape, forcible rape. He was hanged.
Well, if he did it,
so
I
think. So once upon a time, it was not that uncommon for men. I mean, dozens of men were hanged. And there was one man accused of a court-martial for a military offense in World War II and was executed, a private Slovak. But there was about 120 soldiers during World War II executed, and most of them were executed for rape and murder.
Damn. Damn.
So, I mean, I know what people were saying, well, a woman couldn't be heard to be, you know, if she accused somebody of rape, she would. No, oftentimes men did get convicted of rape, and sometimes they got executed for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's just, I don't know. It's a new world, man. It's just a new world. I mean, our fathers and our grandfathers said the world was changing when they had our fathers and our fathers had us, and the world has evolved, and we have to change with it. It's just hard with these new rules and this line. People don't even talk to people anymore because they're afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing and it's going to come out into a fight, and next thing you know, it's going to be a protest. It got to that point.
Isn't that the point of brown shirtism? Isn't that what the Sturm Abteilung did in Berlin in the streets in 1930? The
that
whole point
is
intimidation, to make you self-censor, to shut you up.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it.
It's like I said, I'm a dinosaur, but you know what? I just cannot handle
this. I believe in liberty, sir, and I hate thought control. I hate doublespeak. I hate newspeak.
Right.
I hate all of it. I mean, 1984 and Animal Farm were not intended to be instruction manuals. They were intended to be cautionary tales. What we are getting
right.
is 1984 as a blueprint.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what the world's becoming now.
Yeah, it is. And it can't sustain this because the human being cannot be kept quiet and shut up. And it can only go so far before we break. I mean, right now, I think we're in the beginning of a civil war. I mean, look at our leaders right now. Nothing but gossip and bullshit that's going on and about moving gerrymandering and Trump's a racist and Trump's coming back. And yay, Trump, you're against Trump. That means, you know, you're a leftist radical. If you're for Trump, you're a radical white ring racist. And nothing is going to join those two together.
Hey, I got a little tidbit for you might be very interested in hearing.
Right.
This is from United Kingdom's Daily Mail. It's just published today. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris kicked off Pride Month on Tuesday by touting their efforts to boost diversity in the military and to fly the gay pride flag at United States outposts around the world. Already some embassies and consulates are flying the signature rainbow flag. The United States Embassy to the Holy See celebrates hashtag Pride Month with the Pride flag on display during the month of June, wrote the embassy on Twitter with a picture of the flag on their building. The United States respects the dignity and equality of LGBTQI+ people. LGBTQI+ rights are human rights. In a statement on Gay Pride Month, which begins June 1st, Biden noted in his first weeks in office, he signed several executive orders that expanded the definition of discrimination to include LGBTQ people, and one that prohibits discrimination against transgender service members, which overturned a Trump-era policy. So, very, very interesting to see this coincides with the discussion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. And why would we do that? The only flag that should be flown is the American flag. I mean, the gay flag. I mean, there are some countries, including Russia, whatever, who really said that's still criminal behavior, and we're trying to do diplomacy across the world. Why do we need to force our beliefs or our civil rights value to other people in other nations? Again, it's the propaganda of the United States. We're the beacon on the hill. It's nothing but propaganda bullshit that we want to send around the world, because when they do come here and they think, oh, my God, there's some gay kid in India right now going, let's go to America. We're going to be fine. They accept us, and he'll get his ass beat. So the propaganda will keep flying. It'll keep flying, but I agree.
That is exactly what I'm speaking of, the power of this fascistic agenda. And and fascism attempts to use government to enforce edicts.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they are every bit the same, as far as I'm concerned, as Mussolini's black church. In spirit, anyway. Honest to God, I mean, this is really bad. I mean, I don't know, but it's become so, it's like, you know the old analogy about the pot, the frog in the pot of boiling water, you raise the temperature slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know they've gone into overdrive recently, but for a long time they were just telling us all we want is just not to be persecuted. Stonewall
right.
about the cops not coming in and just locking us up just because we're homosexuals. You know, but now we can see now it's much more than that, because it's been hijacked.
Exactly.
Whatever, even if the agenda was legitimate initially
mm-hmm.
to just avoid mm-hmm. persecution, we can now see it's been hijacked by radicals who are determined to impose a regime of activism upon us. I don't think that's an exaggeration. I don't think I'm over-exaggerating the issue.
Well, remember, they said the same thing in the 60s when the hippies protested the Vietnam War, that they called them radicals and leftists and things like this. And they said the same thing about women when they wanted equal rights, and the women were wanting their civil rights, and they said the same thing. So, you know, and they said the same thing with the black people when they marched down Selma and everything, and they just wanted equal rights, and they go, no, this is a radical Black Panther, radical movement, and their black agenda. They said the same thing what you're saying. It was repeated in history.
But I'd like you
history.
To know, what has the black civil rights movement transmogrified itself into to some degree? Black Lives Matter? We had the civil rights movement in the 1960s where the black protesters frequently showed up in suits and ties, were carrying American flags. Martin Luther King was speaking regularly to the promises of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, particularly the 14th Amendment and elsewhere. He was speaking a largely pro-American, pro-Constitution agenda and even syllabus. Now we've got people proudly proclaiming, getting corporate support, that we're corporate support, no less, while they say we are trained Marxists and proud as hell of it. Look at the feminist movement. Look at what the feminist movement has become. Radical is all get out. I mean, no, these things do transform over the years, because I have enormous respect for Martin Luther King. I think he was one of the greatest men in history. But there is no doubt about it, no doubt whatsoever, that the civil rights movement was heavily influenced by outright communists. I'm talking about Bayard Rustin, Hunter Pitts O'Dell, Jack O'Connell. All these people, a couple of them actually had agents in the Soviet Union. We know now from looking at the Venona archives. And when some of these people came to light, King would fire them because he didn't want them to be associated with the civil rights movement. Now, King was not a communist, despite what people say, because King was a man of God. He was, after all, a preacher. He was a theologian, and he knew communism was essentially atheistic. So he himself could not be a communist for that reason. But he was thought, I think here's what he believed. I think he believed he could sup with the devil if his spoon was long enough. And he allowed them to influence much of the civil rights movement. And he particularly evinced favorable regard for socialism in the last years of his life. He openly advocated for socialism. The civil rights movement was always tinged with communist, Marxist, and socialist activities from its very inception.
Well, we got to explore that later, and our time is up.
In fact, I would love to come back to you and talk about it, because, man, I've studied that in great depth.
You are more than welcome anytime.
You know, Martin Luther King had, you know, Bayard Rustin and Sanford Levinson were two of his closest advisors. They were communists. Bayard Rustin was a member of the American Communist Party.
Well, is communism that bad? We'll talk about that. We'll talk.
It is.
I mean, we got a form of it. Well, I don't know. We got a form of socialist welfare, social security.
Deliberately. 125 million.
I hear you. But we'll talk about that. And our show is over. We're on usually at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday. We came on a little late today. But if you're around, I would love to have you come on in the studio anytime. I love talking to you. So we're usually on at 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And where are you from, caller?
I'm originally from Chicago, but I'm an expatriate from the horrific state of Illinois, which is falling into decay and ruination.
Oh, yeah.
And I have fled
to
Georgia, where I now reside.
Oh, my God. I have relatives in Savannah. Again, it'll be 10 o'clock your time, 7 a.m. And we're talking in the morning, 7 a.m. California time. Our show's on Monday through Friday, and you are more than welcome to come in and join the conversation. We go all over the place, as you can tell. Tomorrow will be another topic, but it'll be a topic on point of what's happening in America. And thank you, caller.
Well,
thank you, sir, very much
for this conversation. You've been a gentleman. It's been very civil. I think you add a lot to Blog Talk. I'm now following your show. I will be back
in touch.
Sir. Like I said, I prefer clarity over agreement. I think we had a lot of clarity. We had a good deal of agreement, and that's what it's all about in the final analysis. That's what we've got to get this country back to. We don't remember William F. Buckley. He'd have on people who never would agree with him, and he'd have them on all the time. That kind of debate stuff, that's what we need to have more of.
And you know what? We will, because there are a lot more people like us than there are a lot more people like them out there trying to change the world. We'll keep it the way it is. It balances it out. We do. They just speak louder. See, they just speak louder than we do. But we're still around. And as long as I'm on the air, we're going to have a good time. And let me have your name again, caller, because I want to remember your name.
You just call me Sarge.
Sarge, it's been a pleasure. It's been my honor. And again, thank you so much for your service. And I hope to see you again, Sarge. Please join us again.
Okay, I'll be back, sir. You can count on it.
You got it, Sarge, and thank you again. Have a great one. Be safe. And everybody, that's the show. This is Brian Hammer Jackson with Hammer 96.7. And guess what? We are the crazy ones, because crazy people tend to change the world. If you don't believe me, listen to Steve Jobs. I mean, he says the same thing, and here he is, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Let's go change the world, Sarge. We can do it. We'll see you guys tomorrow.